Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Okay, first things first, as we begin this Thursday evening, 14th of August, 2008 edition of Head On, with me, Bob, we have working phones again. Yay! You can tear up into little bitty pieces that phone number from last night, and we're going back to normal. If you want to get in touch with the program this evening, this is how. Toll free, if you need us to pay the freight, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or, if you want to do it on your nickel, or you've got long distance to throw around like it's money or something like that, or you've got an unlimited dialing plan or something like that, 304-658-3333 is the number. 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob at headonradio.com, B-O-B at headonradio.com. See how easy? And let's see. What happened to the phones? Well, let's do this real quick. The guys at CityNet, who are wonderful and do tremendous, tremendous work, and every time you call CityNet, you get a guy up in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Not Bridgeport, India, surprisingly enough. Nice guys. Real nice folks. They got after it. And they did everything on their end, and it still wasn't working. That's when I saw the Verizon trucks driving around. You remember It's a Wonderful Life? You remember Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life, the charming little child of Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed? And in that charming little girl voice, she said,
"Teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings."
Well, it's sort of like that.
"Every time you see a Verizon truck, your internet service will soon be..." Oh, dear, I don't think teacher wants us to say that word.
But facts is facts. But anyway, everything's fixed and everything's normal. And we can even double check just to make sure. Yep. Oh, those are nice, fresh, juicy dial tones all ready for you this evening. Hot diggity. So, you know, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, followed by H-E-A-D-O-N, for those of you who like to do your spelling on the telephone keypad. Or, you know, 304-658-3333. All righty then. So let's go back to the story that, well, the...
I'm not going to let go of it because true journalism, proper journalism, has not been done on it yet. Let's talk about Tim Dale Johnson. Timothy Dale Johnson. Because I went out and did some journalizing on this. Not a lot of journalizing being done on the critical facts on this case. Timothy Dale Johnson, born February 3rd, 1958. Resident of 128 Janet Lane, Searcy, Arkansas, Grant County. Or, I'm sorry, White County, Arkansas. Went to his place of employ yesterday. He was a stock boy. He was a 50-year-old stock boy at Target. I think that's part of it. 50-year-olds who are stock boys. And are paid accordingly. In other words, not too good. Because Target doesn't pay them very well, because Walmart doesn't pay them very well. And Walmart doesn't pay them very well because these people have no opportunity to form and or join a union. So he went to work and wrote on the wall that Target is run by a bunch of fraternity boys and sorority B-word. And, of course, because it's censored journalism, I'm assuming I know what the B-word is. But it was blanked out. It was just B, blank, 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 blank in the professional journalism reports. And he walks out and quits over it when he gets called on the carpet about it. Timothy Dale Johnson, age 50, was right agitated, shall we say. Very agitated. For some reason or another, Timothy Dale Johnson had written the name of Arkansas Democratic Party Chairman Bill Guatney on a post-it note. And he had a couple of sets of keys from the victim's car dealership in his possession. Well, let me just read you the Associated Press lead paragraph. The killer of Arkansas's Democratic Party chairman had written his victim's name on a post-it note and had two sets of car keys from his victim's car dealership, but links, and this is where the highfalutin paid for journalism comes in, but links between the men and a motive for the slaying remained a mystery to investigators Thursday. Police said Timothy Dale Johnson, here comes the excuses, also owned at least 16 guns and had antidepressant pills and made out a will before he shot Bill Guatney on Wednesday at party headquarters in Little Rock. He'd driven there more than 30 miles after losing his job at a Target store over some graffiti written on a store wall. He had a phone number and the name Guatney written on a post-it note. They found it in his home. Little Rock Police Lieutenant Terry Hastings said, "Those are things we're investigating. Right now, we don't have any indication of motive as far as it deals with Mr. Guatney." No, of course you don't, Lieutenant, because you're not doing any police work, and the professional for-profit journalists aren't doing any journalism work. No, you gotta leave that to some dude with a radio show, working the phones. Yeah. 'Cause I did. And I know. Timothy Dale Johnson, as far as the Arkansas Secretary of State is concerned, first registered to vote in June of the year 2000. That'd be plenty enough time for him to get out and vote for George W. Bush, who was going to bring us some compassionate conservatism. And yeah, he did vote in that November election. He voted in all the presidential elections between then and now. Now, we gotta talk a little bit about the nature of politics in the egg-sucking nature of politics in southern American states. You don't have to stand up for what you believe in your voters' registration in the southern part of the U.S. and many other states. Here in West Virginia, you kind of still do. Places like Maryland, you kind of still do. Because you register as what you are. Democrat, you register as a Republican, you register as, well, I don't get it, but people register as independents. You register as Green or Mountain Party or whatever. You register as a member of the party. Yeah. Well, not in Arkansas. You just register. Just go registered vote. That way you can be a closet communist, I guess. That's what they're, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're protecting the commies in the red state south. But it does show up as to which elections you vote in. And there he was, Super Tuesday, I believe it was, February of 2008. A-going to vote in the Repig-licking primary in Arkansas. He also voted in the Repig-licking primary in 2004 in Arkansas. Now, here's the joker in the deck. In 2006, he voted in the Democratic primary. I have a feeling if we took a look at who was on the slate in the 2006 Democratic primary, we'd know why. But this guy was, of course, a Republican. And this was, of course, a political killing. Neighbors said they never saw Johnson with any of the firearms he owned. Let's see, how many was that? That was 16 firearms. Neighbors said they never saw Johnson with any of the firearms he owned.
Something bad must have happened. He must have just snapped.
That was his neighbor, Jeannie Lyles, age 60. She said he'd bring tomatoes and squash and peppers by her house next door. She said when he first moved in some years back, she kept her grandchildren back as a precaution, but pretty soon the children scurried over to his big old backyard, often throwing balls back and forth with Johnson. When strong winds would tear through the pastures surrounding their small neighborhood, Johnson would even come into her yard to pick up fallen tree limbs. She said he was not a person of a lot of words, but he did carry on conversations. He'd walk her dogs for her. He was, in a word, neighborly, as he could be. Timothy Dale Johnson's story is the story of a lot of America. His daddy was a veteran of the Second World War. And he spent years working as a farmer, Johnson's daddy did, before he moved near to Searcy with his wife, Mathel, and their three daughters. In 2006... after his daddy died, Johnson moved into his parents' house there. As of the writing today, according to the Associated Press, ripe red tomatoes sat on the two steps leading up to a sliding glass door at the back of Johnson's home, likely picked from the tomato stalks. Oh, God, come on, please. John Gambrell wrote this. Tomato stalks. Yeah. Yeah, if I hadn't had that little flare-up in my belly, I would have gotten my tomato stalks out this year. No, likely picked from the tomato stalks still up among his row of vegetables and flowers in the back. Sunflowers, some towering more than 6 feet, wilted down under the August sun. Mainly they wilted down under the August sun because it is seldom that one sees anything that is growing wilting up toward the August sun. That's called growing.
Sorry, that was just a little journalism moment. I mean, they got time to figure that bigot, okay? I mean, that's just me. But we got time to write about how the sunflowers are a wilting down under the oppressive August sun, and the tomatoes sitting on the two steps of leading up to the sliding glass door at the back of his home. We got time to. Yeah, absolutely. But intrepid journalist John Gambrell can't pick up a telephone and figure out. I mean, it took me maybe 30 seconds with the Google to sort out how they register voters in Arkansas and call and get the information. Nope, because those tomatoes on the back step and those up-wilting sunflowers tell us a whole lot more about Timothy Dale Johnson and why he would go bananas and take one of his 16 guns and go blow away the state party chairman of the state of Arkansas, Democratic Party. Yeah, his tomatoes and his sunflowers tell us a heck of a lot more about why he'd want to do something like that than maybe his party registration or his voting habits. Oh, Rick Goodner, where are you when I need you? Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, tell me, my brother, which tells you more about a killer? Whether he raises heirloom Potawatomi purple tomatoes versus hybrid Romas, or maybe Rutgers, or Oxhearts. Whether he raises those or whether or not he goes and votes with the party with the conservative family values and the culture of life. Whether he has sunflowers that are down-wilting in the oppressive August Arkansas sun. Yeah, Mr. Gambrell was having his little, William Faulkner moment there, talking about the tomatoes and the wilting down sunflowers. But horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, which tells us more, sunflowers or political affiliation? Tomatoes or voting habits? Nobody, of course, is talking about what was found in his house. Except for the fact that that Post-it note was found. We haven't found the Hannity books yet, or if they have, they're not talking about it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Did I?
Reek.
Reek, you've got to help me, Reek.
How's it going, my friend?
That's going good. I conjured you. I'm getting good at this.
I couldn't help it. You know, this item that you're working on, my student, who's a brilliant child. I mean, she's going to be almost as good as me. Actually, she's almost as good as me now.
I was going to say, that's going to be pretty darn good.
We were talking today, and I went ahead, and I read what was on, the AP. And then I turned around, and she hates when I do this to her, and I do it to her all the time. So if you now tell me about it. Get diagnosis. What do we have here?
What we have here is failure to communicate.
Failure to communicate. And I think she hit it. She says, okay, you've got this guy, and I love this, who is 50 years old working at Target. And I said, I would bet a box boy. Well, as you read, he was a box boy.
Yep.
And then she says, well, okay, you have this guy. He's living in his parents' home. Parents died about 10 years ago. I wonder how they died. Did they have insurance? Did they die all at once?
Yeah, more like two years ago.
Ah. Has he been living there ever since? Has he been living there before? Does he have a sense of entitlement? These are things she started asking that started ticking off. Does he have a sense of entitlement? Does he believe that someone needs to take care of him? And if suddenly the government money ran out because his parents are dead, government's not taking care of it anymore. He's not getting any of the checks. So he has to go to work as a box boy. So she says, well, I assume he probably has a lot of anger in him because he's blaming the government. Now, he's 50 years old. She said, I'd like to know what his radio is tuned to. I'm over here. Okay, this girl's good.
Yeah, she's catching on. She can be taught.
Can be taught. So I think we hit it pretty well. My guess is he's probably been listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's been telling about all these damn Democrats who have been stealing everything from him. And he just had it. Once he found out he...
If it wasn't for them Democrats, he could haul himself up by his bootstraps because that nanny state's keeping him down.
That's right. He could use those bootstraps for the federal government, making sure that his mom and dad get their check. But, you know, 2 years after they're dead, that check is gone. All the money's gone. The insurance policy's gone. He has to go to work. And so he gets angry. And who's he going to turn it towards? Who's screaming in his ear? Kill someone, kill someone, kill someone. And, yes, they use those words occasionally. Then they come back, oh, no, this is just entertainment. We don't mean anything.
Michael Reagan called for a listener of his to go and put a bullet in the back of Mark Dice's head. He did this on the air.
There you go.
He said, I'll buy the bullets.
Now, if I was to say that on the street, I would be arrested. That's soliciting murder. Soliciting murder.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not a right-wing radio host, so I couldn't.
Right. Now, Timothy Dale Johnson was a member of the Cleburne County Shooting Club. The closest that ace reporter John Gambrell got to touching where it really stings is that he notes that Ken Buster, a former club secretary, said Timothy Dale Johnson was quiet and that he never heard him talk politics.
Wow.
And Ken Buster said he was average to sub-average with a gun.
Okay, now let me see if I understand this. A guy off the top of his head said the guy was quiet, but he never talked politics. I mean, that's the only thing in the world he didn't talk. He talked about sex. He talked about everything else in the world, but not politics. I mean, that makes no sense.
That kind of lit you up, too, didn't it?
Why would you single that out?
He didn't talk politics. No, he wasn't talking about any politics. Oh, heck no. No. No.
Oh, liars. God. What are we going to do with these guys?
Well, I'm not so sure it's a question anymore of what we're going to do with them, Rick. It's what we're going to do with us.
I'm well armed.
Well, and so am I. And so am I. But to tell you the truth, my brother, I'm not so sure that necessarily helps, because when Doofus pulls the .357 out of his waistband, the time between pull and shoot, you know, is a matter of seconds.
Right.
And it becomes more of a question of identifying these people before they pull the thing out of the, pull the gun.
Amen. And even in states like Texas, where, you know, you have laws that says if you have been diagnosed with a mental illness, you're not allowed to have a gun. If you have been convicted of a felony, you're not allowed to have the gun unless it was 10 years ago. Then you can get your gun back. Yeah, in Texas, you can get your gun back after 10 years.
Here in West Virginia, if you've been convicted of a felony, I think within a year after obligation is served, you can petition the court for the right to keep an armed bears again.
That is wonderful.
You can also petition the court for your right to vote.
Well, I don't have any trouble from voting.
No, me either.
I just have trouble with the gun.
I don't want a guy who just got out on a manslaughter rap that he pled down from murder too. I don't want that guy to ever have a gun again. I got questions about him owning a ball bat.
He can do enough damage with a ball bat or a knife. I don't think he needs a gun.
Well, let me back up to something though, real quick. You were talking about his living circumstances. This is an interesting paragraph. Johnson's father, a World War II veteran, worked for years as a farmer before moving near Searcy with his wife, Mathel. I don't know, maybe it's Mathel. You know how it is with Southern names. I'm betting it's Mathel. Worked for years as a farmer before moving near Searcy with his wife, Mathel, and their three daughters. Johnson moved into his parents' single-story ranch home after his father's death in 2006. So that means that the three daughters are either not in the picture anymore, as in, you know, shuffled off this mortal coil, or more likely they have husbands of their own, right? And homes of their own.
Why did they not even mention him, though? They only mentioned the daughters.
Right. And then Johnson moved into his parents' single-story ranch home after his father's death in 2006. So this guy probably has real grief issues.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And he moves into a house that is just chock-a-block with memories.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. It may not be the house that he grew up in, but all the stuff from the house that he grew up in. You know, I mean, come on. This is Southern country living, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen table has probably, the arrangement of it, the salt shakers have probably not changed since he was sitting before it in a high chair. Am I right?
Still has his initials that he scratched into it when he was, you know, forgot his first knife. Yeah, everything. Yeah, gotcha.
And he can't walk into that house without mommy and daddy's ghosts being there. Am I close? Am I close?
You're getting there.
Because some of this is from experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm going through with my father's estate and what I'm facing with his house and everything is preying on me. And I like to think I'm screwed down pretty tight.
Right.
But here's a guy who's had to go to work. He's a box boy at Target. And to say that he probably feels it is not at 50 years old, what man at 50 years old being a stock boy would not stop periodically to sort of re-examine his life?
Yeah.
As our buddy Wayne often says, all work is honorable.
That's true.
The labor that one does with one's hands and one's mind is always honorable, but it is the degree of regard which one's employer extends to one that often defines it. So far, so good?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this guy is probably making maybe a couple of bucks better than minimum wage.
Target, yeah, he might be. If he's at Walmart, he's making minimum at the most.
Yeah.
And he's been overworked for hours that he's not allowed to clock in on.
Odds are he does not have health care.
No insurance.
No insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The most, if he gets hurt, he might have, you know, it's Arkansas, so God only knows what passes for workers' comp in that state.
Okay. You're getting that. Now, I have a friend.
No, wait. I got one more for you. I got one more for you. This guy works the midnight shift.
It's off on the place.
That means that he's headed off to, that he is, you know, getting home with the sun coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what time's he waking up?
Just before he goes to work.
Early evening, so that, he can work the midnight to 8. Because they talk about him walking his neighbor's dog. He would leave late in the evening for work and return home around noon. What's on the radio around noon?
Oh, it's always the same thing, isn't it?
He's in the Central Time Zone. Rush Limbaugh starts at 11 a.m.
Yep, exactly.
Or maybe it's Neil Bortz. So he gets home around noon. And gets, you know, he's probably up for a little bit. Maybe he's got the radio on. Maybe he's up long enough to hear Hannity talking about how liberals should be tried for treason and taken out and killed. And then he wakes up later in the afternoon. He leashes up and walks his little beagle dog and takes his neighbor's dogs with him for the stroll. And the last thing he probably sees before he heads into work, if he's getting home about noon, last thing he probably sees on the TV is O'Reilly. It's getting pretty easy, Rick. Well, I seem to have lost Rick, but I think he was calling from on the job. So he may have had a crisis he had to attend to. But it is. Is there any questions left? Antidepressants? You want antidepressants? You're 50 and single. Seen the photograph yet? No criminal record. But you're 50 and single. You're living in your parents'. brick ranch style home. And you know what those homes are like. All the photos are still there. Because mommy and daddy are still there. And you sit down or you stand up or you walk around and the whole place just exudes the life and the love that they put into that home. Supervisor said Johnson had been a good employee in the stock room. And one day it just goes one step too far. I mean, he didn't just write that Target is run by a bunch of fraternity boys and sorority B-words because that just entered his noggin. Somebody said something to him. Somebody did something to him. The poison that got poured in his ears, you know, we talked about the scene from Hamlet a little bit the other night. The poison that got poured into his ears just built up in his system and accumulated in his system, and you can't get rid of it. And somewhere along the way, and they haven't put this link together yet, but he saw fit to write down the name of the Arkansas Democratic Party chairman on a post-it note and a phone number. And he goes and kills the man, and the first place he goes is the headquarters of the Arkansas Baptist Convention. But none of those folks there felt quite comfortable trying to... The guy had a gun, and he walked back out the door with the gun. The folks inside the Arkansas Baptist Convention let that man go back out on the street, potentially to kill again. Front row seats for the apocalypse. The political apocalypse, not the religious one, the political one. It's tough. It's going to get tougher. It's weird and going to get weirder. Just saw some polling data. I think it was over at WD40.com, WBYAD, the numeral 4, the numeral 0, WD40.com. Gallup Daily, Obama up by 6%, 48% to 42%. The right wing in this country is going to begin to vibrate, to shake, to pull apart, to absolutely come unglued. And they're going to start to take it out on us. Whether it's Knoxville, Tennessee, or Little Rock, Arkansas, or who knows where is next. Jim David Adkison, Timothy Dale Johnson. And I've read most of the news reports, that Johnny on the spot for profit professional journalism. I've read most of it. And no one calls him a, come on everybody, fill in the blank, terrorist, when he was. Timothy Dale Johnson was a terrorist. Jim David Adkison was a terrorist. Timothy McVeigh was a terrorist. The BTK killer was a terrorist. And they're right here at home, and they're a hell of a lot more dangerous to us than any 6'7" Arab with a portable dialysis machine holed up in a cave somewhere in the frontier provinces of Pakistan. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, would that be me?
That would be you.
Hello, it's Reverbo. How you doing?
What's going on, Reverbo?
I just had a weigh in on all this. There just didn't seem to be enough, so I thought I'd add more.
Well, you know, look, I think we got. I hope people don't think I'm just beating on this for the sake of it. I'm not. I'm trying to. I'm playing Paul Revere here. All right.
Well, everything. It's all that what comes around goes. Everything is connected here. By the way, I can't start without telling you how much I enjoyed the concept of profiling the right-wing nuts. That's so enjoyable.
Well, you know, we gotta keep an eye on the Arabs, because they're the one that hit us on September 11th. So there ain't nothing wrong with us keeping an eye on Arabic Middle Eastern men. Well, I mean, they said it, you know, okay, so, you know, welcome to the shoe on the other foot.
Well, unfortunately, there's no one in any squad cars that I know of who would be keeping an eye out for, you know, middle-aged, white, disaffected men with their radios on Rush Limbaugh and then pulling them over, just kind of seeing what's going on, you know, acting a little suspicious. You just wish that you could see that scene, don't you?
Yeah, DWW, driving while wingnut.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, the thing that you brought up about this, it really is true. These people are political assassins. I had to look him up, our boy Mr. Atkinson in Knoxville. And this guy Johnson, they're as much political assassins as really is Oswald and Sirhan. And, I mean, this kind of stuff, these people are shooting at us, and they've been shooting at us for 40 to 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you run across the story of the guy dead 4 days in the Denver hotel room with the big bag of cyanide?
Oh God, no! What's going on with that?
Okay, I'll just do some reading here. About a pound of highly toxic sodium cyanide was found in a hotel room where a man's body was discovered, authorities said Wednesday. The Denver medical examiner was still awaiting test results to determine what killed Saliman Abdirahman Deary of Ottawa. Deary's body was found Monday in the Burnsley All Suite Hotel. Fire officials said they found a bottle of the white powder in Deary's room. Police said Wednesday it was cyanide. Cyanide can be mixed with certain acids to produce extremely lethal cyanide gas. Okay, Reverbo, here's the fun part of the quiz. Got any idea where the Burnsley All Suite Hotel in Denver is?
Would it be in the vicinity of where the Democratic Convention is going to be held?
It's 1.74 miles from Invesco Field at Mile High Stadium.
Man, you can walk it. What is he doing? What, this almost sort of takes your thoughts away. What is going on with that?
Don't worry, America. Denver police say they have found no evidence of terrorism in cyanide poisoning of Saliman Abdirahman Deary.
I'm sure they haven't. I don't know, when's the last time you tried to, I don't know, buy some cyanide, though, through the mail? Maybe?
You know, I try never to travel without a big bag of cyanide.
Yeah, me too. Maybe
he was in the black cap, but maybe he was in the Hitler black capsule business. We don't know.
No.
I mean, there's perfectly rational reasons for people to have humongous bags of sodium cyanide in hotel rooms in Denver a week before the convention. Sure, there's probably thousands.
Man, it's too bad. Maybe he just didn't handle it properly. He didn't have the right gloves, you think?
Yeah, maybe. It's worth remembering or noting that the hair, it's just charming. The guy that they, you know, we just know he was the anthrax killer. We just know it.
Mm-hmm.
The hair samples didn't match.
Oh.
There were hair samples taken at the Princeton, location where the 9/11, or not 9/11, where the, anthrax killer mailed the packages from, mailed the envelopes from, they didn't match the hair samples of Bruce Ivins.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure there's an explanation for that. There always is.
Yes. Yes, there is an explanation for that.
I think those are called official. What's the official story on that, Bob?
It's a non-denial denial. Plausible deniability.
That usually works. Do you remember when this is, I'll just let you fill in, you and the listeners, fill in the blank. And the progressives and the liberals aren't really, they didn't, this isn't theirs. This is the other side. It kind of goes like this. The only good blank
is a
dead one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, remember that?
Yep. Better dead than red.
Well, you can just, I think these folks, I think they worship death. I mean, I know they do.
Well, yes, though. Okay, time out, because I think you've just said something far more trenchant than maybe you realize. Not that I'm more trenchant or anything. But the right wing tends to be absolutely chock-a-block with fundamentalist phony Christians. All right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fundamentalist phony Christianity is a death cult, Reverbo.
Indeed.
And yes, these people do worship death. You know, when the roll is called up yonder and stuff like that. And, you know, when I fly up to see Jesus in the clouds, you know, I love to ask him, you going to be naked or are you going to still have your clothes on?
Oh, they'll all have their clothes on, I guarantee it.
You know, you're going to fly up in the Cadillac Escalade, or do you have to leave the Escalade here to go meet Jesus?
Let's just leave our friend Senator Edwards out of this, but for the most part, these people really don't like women very well. They don't like gay people very well. They don't like anybody who's not like them very well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really, you know, my theory on this, it isn't that so much that they, well, what it is I guess it's really just class warfare. These people, and I don't know, this is going to tie in with that business over with the Russians and the Georgians and the oil business, too. But that'll get tied in tonight somehow. But these people, they miss that safe world of aristocrats and peasants, you know? I don't think it's so much that they don't want to share the wealth with everybody. And don't get me wrong, they don't want to do that.
No, they really don't.
But I think what it is with... It's like that George Carlin thing about it's a big club and you ain't invited. They're having a party and they don't even want you anywhere in the same time zone as them. And that's what I think it is. What happens when the middle class is thriving and happy and when people are prosperous? What usually happens? Well, I'll answer the question for us. We get things like, we kind of want to be players in our political and economic future, don't we?
I think the word we're looking for is empowerment.
We have time. You know, that old Maslow, the hierarchy of needs. We got a little time to think about women's rights, and labor rights, and minority rights, and student rights, and political power, and all this kind of stuff. And that's what freaks them out, I think, ultimately. Because they will take security and order over freedom. Any day. And we got it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and that's very much an identified factor. They are authoritarians.
They're paranoid, besides. I don't know. It's just so that why you can do these things one of two ways. Trust me, Andrew Carnegie and Vanderbilt and all these people and Rockefeller would have made a fortune if they were good guys, too. Now, I don't think anybody is against Limbaugh, and all of them are also fond of acting like, you know, if you're not for, well, at this point, it's a big list. If you're not for torture, if you're not for killing, and if you're not for the Republicans, and you're not for this, that, and the other thing, you're against freedom. You're against America. You're all this crap. But, I mean, the fact is, let's say this country actually did get on board with a huge Apollo-type program for renewable energy or fixing all the bridges and the potholes and roads, you know, putting people, just thousands of people back to work and getting things back up and running, I guarantee you fortunes would be made. So it's not as if, you know, if I have something, that means I had to take it away from you. There's actually, I believe, enough going on and enough going around to, what kills me is that this country could be so great. You know,
and that's going to be our epitaph, Reverbo. Look at what they squandered.
Yes, I saw enough episodes of the Jetsons. I'm really pissed. I thought
we'd be there by now. I thought I was the only man on the planet that thought that way. But yeah,
that's really it. I mean, we go to the moon, spend all that money, and we finally go to the moon, and then we bounce around up there with those moon boots. And then we never go back for like 35 years. We never come back. Okay, that's great. Now George Bush, I can't do him as well as you. Yeah, now he wants to go to Mars. I have news for George. It's really cold and dark up in space. He's not going to like it.
Yeah, but they're red on Mars, and we have to tell them tear down this red planet.
They are. It's the angry red planet. I forgot about that. Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is...
Just pulled that one right off the cuff, Reverbo. I mean, yeah.
I was practicing Bush, and you know what? I think it's kind of like doing Walter Brennan a little bit. I think
there's a little bit of Walter Brennan in there. It's kind of Walter Brennan with a sore throat and 70 IQ points down.
Oh God, he is such a bottom feeder, which of course brings up more of these points.
And apparently a bottom smacker, if you've seen the Olympic photographs from the volleyball session.
Did he put his hand on the cabooses of some athletes?
Well, at one point, I think he was writing on one of them.
Oh, my. That guy, they're all freaks. I don't know. That's these people. They used to call me a freak. And that kind of riled me, too. Because... all these people that they claim to hate, you know what? We're not doing the shooting.
No, we're not. You know, no. Heck, we're more likely to have a candlelight vigil and sing Kumbaya and want to see. I mean, the right wing is, you know, the wing nuts and the you know, perfect hair Hannity and stuff, they're kind of close to the mark on that. You know, we'd like to understand these freaks. And the fact is we'd like to help them.
Boy, they're a true.
I mean, I can sit here and pull together a plausible account of Timothy Dale Johnson's life, and I can feel real bad for him because, you know, I lost my daddy about the same period of time ago, and it still hurts.
Yeah.
But there he is, all by himself in that house with nobody to put a hand on his shoulder, nobody to speak to him, nobody to talk to him. And you go to work and you get pushed around by people who treat you like crap in the stockroom at Target? How do you not snap? And then you turn on the radio and there's somebody there who can tell you with absolute certainty whose fault it is? How do you not act on it?
Why don't more people get up on the roofs with high-powered rifles? Something about human beings is civilized. People have a conscience, they have an intelligence, they can reason, which gets more to the point now of, as long as you keep most of us distracted and stupid, you're going to get the Johnsons and the Jim Atkinsons out there.
And, I mean, the funny thing is, this guy led cops on this 30-mile chase, Reverbo, and yet he had already written a will. He wrote a will like a day or so before.
Oh, my.
You know, I think we're looking at one of those cases where, act in haste, repent in leisure. But there's so much stuff that will not, there's so much work that will not be done. We won't get an answer to why those good Southern Baptists didn't take this guy down or didn't do something before the 30-mile chase started.
I don't know. I guess that happens all the time in that church. People, wild guys, white guys running in, swinging guns around.
Well, but again, please remember, this is a place that was shaped for years by the presidency of Mike Huckabee before he became Arkansas governor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with a feller running around town with a big old gun in his hand and flailing around. He's just enjoying his, he's exercising his Second Amendment God-given rights.
Exactly.
Because that's another one of these memes that's at work here, is that, you know, how many times has Dear Leader said, our freedoms were given to us by Almighty God? When they weren't. Our freedoms were defined such as they are, and such as they are delineated as being personal versus governmental, by a bunch of really smart guys in the late 18th century. There was no God involved. And that's no slur on people who want to believe in God. But it wasn't part of the process.
No, but that's, as more years go by and more kids, more people are smoking cigarettes in the parking lot than taking social studies class, you just sort of forget those facts. And you can almost believe at some point when these people are just looking at you saying, oh yeah, America was founded as a Christian nation and
right,
we're obligated to God.
And if your rights were given to you by God and not by the Constitution, then if a dear leader comes along and says we're having a crisis and we got a national security crisis and we're at war with rutabagas for all eternity and we'll give you back those rights just because God speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next thing you know, it's bye-bye rights. See you later. Hope you come back someday. Probably won't.
We'll pray that they do.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll pray in one hand and in the other one and see which one fills up first.
Well, what you're describing is pretty much what's been happening. What I want to know is, I don't even know what to call them anymore. How are they going to disguise the fact that all this violence, all this death and killing is being waged by one of theirs? How do you suppose that's going to get spun?
Oh, it's not going to get spun, Reverbo. It's not going to get talked about at all. It didn't happen. It's down the memory hole. Goodbye.
Well,
we're the only ones talking about this. Don't kid yourself. I mean, it might, you know, I'm sure somebody like Malloy, maybe Randy, a few others might talk about this. You know, Guy James, the Horn. It ain't going to get talked about on right-wing radio, and it's not going to be talked about in polite society.
Well, and it's easy to just go ahead and...
And if they do, they won't talk about the 16 guns. Instead, they'll talk about the antidepressants and Prozac done it.
Yeah, and he kept to himself. He was a quiet guy, and, the economy was bad. Yeah, I guess so. You're answering the... There's only one place for this to go, and that's to end up blaming the liberals.
Well, yeah, I mean, See what happens? If we get that universal health care, them liberals want everybody will be on them pills, and we'll just be, America will turn into a shooting gallery. Yeah. See how it works?
It'll cost so much, they'll tax us to death, that everybody is liable to just snap. I don't know, it hasn't gotten past me that the people who do this kind of thing have always been easy to profile. Women don't do it. Minorities tend not to do it. Progressive thinking people don't grab guns and start blasting away.
Nope. Disaffected, poorly educated, desperate, white males in middle age.
Bottom feeders, throw that in.
And mostly vote Republican.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Well, we're going to just have to start pulling people over, that's all.
Yeah, where are you going, son?
Well, they sure...
I see you're listening to Michael Savage there. Are you contemplating killing any liberals?
Yeah, I could have sworn I heard that coming from out of your rolled-down window there. I heard Russia coming out of your car there.
Feel like America's going down the tubes, do you, son? Yeah, come with me. Let's go talk to a doc.
I want to be one of those guys. Maybe they'll give me like a blazer and maybe like some kind of an outfit.
Yeah, the Reverbo, angry white male profiler.
Hey, there's a future in this, my friend.
Well, son, I see you got your liberal hunting permit bumper sticker on the back of your truck there.
Yeah, well, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I got another one of those funny T-shirts right here in front of me. It's just a real knee slapper. Our blogger, Texas Betsy, sent it along. Reverbo, it's a lovely white T-shirt with a red, white, and blue donkey with three stars across it. And there is a crosshairs on long about where the heart of that donkey would be. Crosshairs cover up most of the donkey. And underneath, in a simple black print, it says, "Got ammo?"
That is so clever.
Hey, here's the fun part, Reverbo. It comes in toddler sizes.
I would hope so. I mean, the family that shoots donkeys together.
The families that slays together stays together.
You couldn't have said it better. Yeah. I'm sorry, what year is this? I don't remember.
I'm getting to the point where I'm not willing to hazard a guess.
We talk on your show sometimes about, the liberal and progressive side of things tries to be inclusive as opposed to the other side, which seems to be make a living out of being exclusive. I mean, they really do not want, if they can keep things bad and keep us away, that's what they will do. Whereas we do try to include, which we're trying to design some sort of system, you know, that has a little something for everybody, kind of the we the people thing, you know, we'll get back to that kind of, you remember that Constitution and all.
Yeah,
the point of it.
It was charming and quaint, wasn't it?
I don't think we're going to be able to wait for these votes. I think if somehow this gets turned around, I don't know that we have any time. We can afford to wait for them to come around. I've been thinking about this, and they're either going to figure it out and get on board, or they're going to get left behind. Because I don't think, I mean, what?
Well, as for your angry white guys, they are going to get left behind. There's another story out here, and this is part of the why they're beginning to vibrate thing. See, I'm not threatened by news like this. You're not threatened by news like this. Headline, they are. Headline, white Americans no longer a majority by 2042.
I heard that on NPR today.
White people will no longer make up a majority of Americans by 2042, according to new government projections. See what they're doing with that illegal immigration. We got to stop these Democrats now, or we won't be white no more.
I don't know what I had to tell them this, but you're not going to be stopping that.
Right. You're shoveling back the tide.
Yeah, I mean, you're lowering the river, however that goes. Yeah. Right? No, I can't remember.
The white population is older and very much centered around the aging baby boomers who are well past their high fertility years, said William Fry, a demographer at the Brookings Institution. The future of America is epitomized by the young people today. They are basically the melting pot we are going to see in the future.
We can't have no melting pot.
No, see, you know, I mean, I joke and I do my funny little voices and stuff, Reverbo, but these guys are deadly in earnest about it.
No,
America's going to die. America ain't going to be white no more. God will pull his screen of grace from us. When the Mexicans and the black people and the Asians begin to, and we won't be America because they don't identify with the freedoms that God gave us in the Constitution.
Yeah, those freedoms God gave them. Right, and don't forget those Russians. They're going to be over here in a minute if we let them.
Wolverines! Remember the movie? Red Dawn?
No.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
After you see a movie like Apocalypse Now, you kind of don't bother seeing any more war movies.
I know.
That was my theory, anyway.
Had enough. Let me up. I've had enough.
Well, I'll let you get on with your show. I really enjoyed talking to you. And,
it's always a pleasure, Reverbo.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. Make it personal.
Absolutely.
Bye now. That's the sub-theme of the show, as of Reverbo's invention. Make it personal. Because, you know, when a disaffected white guy walks in quivering and anxious and nervous, and he hasn't reached for the gun yet, you don't know who the target is. If it isn't personal, you might be the target. Make it personal. Keep your eyes open. You know, our good buddy Malloy frequently closes his program by saying, watch your back. Really, watch your back. He ain't making it up. All right? Watch your back and your neighbor's back. It may be what stands between you or them and a funeral, and perhaps preventing one of these right-wing nightmares. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, Sandra. Listen, you know what? I'm trying to take a vacation from all this. And I ain't helping. So, right, you know, but, you know, I know I'm, like, really rude, but your folks, man, what's up? They keep pulling the guns and shooting up folks because they can't get ahead. Are you kidding me?
Well, if it wasn't for all of them minorities, we might be able to succeed like God wants us to.
No, but it's never the minorities, man. It's just old white men who are past it, and you know they come in full circle, man. I don't know.
Well, no, it's the white fellas that didn't that sat there and went to the polls, Sandra, especially in the South, when their white man Republican politician said Jesus wants us to be a right to work state, because you don't need no union, and so they went, no, I don't need no union, and away they went to the polling place, and they voted for politicians who put right to work into effect so that they could drive wages down to where only the most desperate immigrants could take the jobs.
Well, no, those people thought that right to work means, that means I can work. I mean, you know, it's so stupid, but it's not, because these tactics work, and they're just driving down the standard of living. But see, the response to this is what is worrying me, Bob. It's not, they're not acquiescing. They're, you know, shooting up the wrong folks, though, you see?
Yeah, but...
I'm not advocating the fourth box, you know.
I know that, but who are they supposed to shoot?
Well,
there's nobody out there telling them, like, you know, like we are, that their problems. I don't want them to go shooting Republicans. I don't want nobody getting shot.
No, it's just a bad recipe. All these firearms and these DAs, you know, these dumbasses. It's not a good combination.
Man had 16 guns in his house. Do you reckon he sat there for a little bit? Because I'm just kind of being as I are one, kind of trying to crawl around inside the Southern redneck mindset. Did he sit there thinking, you know, I think I'm going to use this here .357 because I didn't pay but $49.95 for it, and it's not exactly a collector's piece, so it won't be too bad if it goes into the evidence locker.
You know, I mean, I was just laughing when you the show first came on. You were talking, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but it was so over the top when he was talking about, did the money run out when the parents died? I was like, oh, snap. You know, he just sort of painted a really gruesome profile, you know.
But it's a gruesomely real profile.
And when I found that dude worked at Target, I was like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's a recipe for this toxic stew, and it's cooking all over America.
Well, I like how the right is sort of weaving in the Clinton Arkansas machine and all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just they cannot. They have to turn over the bodies when they're dealing with anything in Arkansas, right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of our ELO, our chat room moderator, she went lurking around Freeperville. You know, the Freepers. And there it was, lo and behold, Arkansas. Wonder if the getaway was made in a 34-car motorcade. And that's
it. It's just, yeah, it's so predictable and just yawn, you know. But, and you're right, no one else is talking about this. It's just not an issue, you know.
Yeah. Because there are real issues.
Well, yeah.
But if you're watching right wing television or listening to right wing radio, which is mostly all there is, why, you know, we can't sit down and have a debate about health care in this country. Because it's all clearly defined. Universal health care bad, for profit health care good.
Yeah, well, no.
That's all settled.
No, I'm so heartsick by some of the conversations I've had with people who actually agree that, oh no, we'll become a nanny state if we provide some sort of health care for people. And somehow they've been convinced that health care is something that you need to earn. And you know, if you're not the right type of person, when maybe you shouldn't have it. You know, there is that sort of attitude here, which is probably why we can't seem to get past not having it, you know?
Yeah, it's an entitlement that some people should not be entitled to. Have I got that right?
Right, that's the thing. And this is, and people actually can open their mouths, and I don't know if they're mouthing talking points or what, because it really doesn't make any sense.
I'm sick of hearing that. Honest to God, though, Sandra, and I'm not barking at you. I'm sick of hearing that nanny state phrase coming out of these right-wingers' mouths, because you know what? If the nanny state means that I get 6 weeks of paid vacation a year and my health care is taken care of and my children's health care is taken care of and I've got a real meaningful retirement ahead of me, bring on the nanny state.
Well, no, I'm saying it, you know, for Jordan. I mean, yeah, I'm just sort of mimicking them because it just sounds ridiculous. And these are the same people talking at me, you know, have like two teeth in their head because they can't afford to pay $20,000 to get their teeth fixed. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Because
and it's just like, hello, what? You know, you're like being victimized by this system nonstop. Yet,
and don't think for a minute that if Walmart is sitting there having associate meetings about how evil it will be if Barack Obama is elected, don't think that Target isn't doing it too. Because, you know, Macy's does tell Gimbals.
No, it's just stunning. And, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, because you want to be out there trying to be part of the solution, you know, not just griping. Like, you know, I can gripe all day and night, you know, but I do try to do some things, but it is really, I don't know, it just makes you feel really disillusioned, you know?
It does, and I was thinking about just that thing, Sandra, and I know that we've got winger listeners. They never call because, you know, sometimes they're treated rather shabbily when they start their screaming and stuff.
Mm.
But I wonder if once in a while I should just say, hey, listen, wingers, the lines are open. Are you feeling angry? Do you feel like you want to go and shoot a liberal to make America better? Call me. Let's talk. Because, I'm like you. I want to come up with some solutions. I want to help. I want to know why this is happening. I want to help correct this insane thinking whereby, you know, you can reach some, you know, how do you get from I lost my job to I need to kill a Democrat?
Well, it's the same thing, like, you know, things have happened in my life where I made a conscious effort to change and improve my situation, right? But that doesn't mean that because my situation has improved due to my efforts that I'm now, you know, not empathetic or my compassion is gone. You see what I'm saying? It's like there seems to be a disconnect between helping yourself and you know, blaming other people who can't because you did. I mean, it's just all mixed up. You know what I'm saying? If you're able to make changes to yourself that's positive, it doesn't necessarily, you don't need to step on the next guy. I mean, that mentality, I'm so sick of it, you know?
I know.
I don't know if I'm making any sense.
You're making boatloads of sense.
It's just killing me because I understand the need to pull yourself together and, you know, do things for yourself and make your life. Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know if it's an American trait or it's just a humanistic trait. Who knows? But please, we're collectively here, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And the vast majority of human experience, I mean, I think about John Donne. You know, I am no man is an island unto himself. I am a part of a continent. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. I'm funny that way, I guess, and you're funny that way. We're funny that way because you know what? I don't just sit here and hate Timothy Dale Johnson. I'd like to have eased somehow. Somebody should have been able to ease his pain.
Well, I mean, no, it's just you know the isolation, the individualistic crap that we're fed equals isolation. You know, bowling alone syndrome, that Putnam book.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's real relevant, and it keeps being relevant more so as time marches on with this country. And it manifests itself in ways like we saw yesterday. You know, these isolated people who have nowhere to turn, and Jesus ain't helping them.
Well, let me ask you a question, Sandra. Why is this isolation issue... Is this endemic to what happens to single, white, disaffected, poorly educated males? Are there communities within, say, the African American population, the Asian population, women? I mean, because it's guys and it's white guys that wind up in this hell.
Well, yeah, I just think that it's you know just a I don't know. I mean, it's a symptom of the power structure, you know? I mean, I'm not going to go on to a Marxist analysis of it, but, you know, there's definitely some sort of, it's something really acutely wrong with these disaffected white people.
Well, I think there's some sexual politics involved with this, too.
Well, you know, there's some woman he was stalking. Did you read that connection?
I didn't get all of that, but I did see it mentioned.
There was some issue where he was spurned by a woman who, you know, wasn't interested in him, and she had to pull out a restraining order on him a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, you're Adkisson. Yeah, are you talking about Adkisson or Johnson?
No, I think this man here, too.
Oh, well, cherchez la femme. Because Adkisson, his ex-wife that got the restraining order against him, had occasionally attended that Unitarian church in Knoxville.
No, this guy had, you know, was sort of harassing some woman at a dental office, funny enough. But I just was reading an Arkansas Democrat or one of those.
Okay, the Democrat Gazette.
Literally, yeah, and it was just in the blog section. So I could be wrong, but they were, you know, they have a lot of information.
Well, they're saying, you know, well, we don't know why he had two sets of car keys from Mr. Guatney's car lot.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't an employee, because at first they said he was an ex-employee, right?
Well, this is fairly easy, I mean, at least in the speculation department. Mr. Johnson had a mama and a daddy, and they both gone.
Right. You know, I gathered that from listening to your show.
And when they went on to their reward, there might have been a couple of cars that got repoed, because the payments couldn't be made. And that's where those two car keys came from. I mean, does that make sense? It makes as much sense to me as anything else I've heard posited.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's amazing how reluctant the, you know, for-profit media is to connect the dots, you know?
They don't want to connect the dots. Heavens to Betsy, dot connecting is what they don't want to do on these cases. I mean, that's why the Adkisson story just went gone.
Well, like you talked about with the last freak, or no, not that guy, but I guess it was the anthrax person. Do you know what this man's voting record is? Well, I think that's a really good angle with these freaks.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why we had to go find it, because nobody else would.
And you haven't seen any mention of this fool's political bent either, right?
Well, only that one mention in the story that I had earlier, where it says they this is just kind of weird. They interviewed the guy from the gun club he belonged to, and the horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner pointed out what a strange way to put things. Ken Buster, a former club secretary, said Johnson was quiet and that he never heard him talk politics. Sir, did you know Timothy Dale Johnson? Yeah, he was pretty quiet, and I never heard him talk politics. There, I ain't saying nothing else.
Oh, okay, so you're thinking that was an odd thing to jump right to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't hearing talk no politics. We ain't. Don't look in that closet over there, because it ain't got no Klan robes in it.
No, you move along. There's nothing to see here type of
Yeah. Thing. And the Grand Dragon is not going to be here for lunch.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just am sort of, if it wasn't happening, isn't this like every other week now?
That's what we're running on, yeah. And you factor in the big bag of cyanide in Denver, and we're running on a pretty much one-week schedule.
Oh, wait. I missed that. What's that?
You can't leave the room when this show starts, Sandra.
Oh, God, you know?
Yeah, guy dead 4 days in a Denver hotel with a big old bag of sodium cyanide powder.
Oh, just in time for the convention.
Yeah,
right?
Hotel's 1.74 miles from Mile High Stadium.
Well, who knows? Maybe that was planted so they can drum up their security.
Well, bear in mind, dude's name was, I got it here. His name was Salomon Abdirahman Diri of Ottawa, Canada.
Oh, snap. They had to throw in some sort of a towel head in the mix. You know, I say that.
I know. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, you know, that's another reason to move the free speech zones another 5 miles from the Pepsi Center.
That cage? The cage?
Yeah. Yeah, brought to you by the same people who probably designed the cages in Gitmo.
Well, I'm scared at what new toys are going to be guinea pigging people with this time around.
Hey, why does my spleen feel so hot?
Oh, God, you know, it really is too much. Listen, on another subject that's, you know, really shallow, because that's about as far as I can go now, is, have you seen, I was at Media Matters, have you seen Rush?
Yeah, yeah.
He's about to pop. That's why he's so big.
Yes, he is. And
I ain't seen him in a while, but Lordy, he looks like he done put on a good 50.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of OxyContin, because it really is an appetite suppressant, Sandra. You know, you get a good Oxy going, and you're pretty much happy staring at your shoelaces.
Oh, that's, you know, he did have a period when he was looking almost human. What?
His weight loss coincided with his Jones.
Well, the weight gain is, I mean, not enough money in the world is going to keep that fool living much longer if he don't get a grip.
Yeah, I tell you what, Rush, we want to advertise a new product on your program, but you have to do the personal endorsements, and you got to try it for a month before you can endorse it. Here it is, bacon on a stick, Rush. we eat it 5 times a day, would you, buddy? I'm mean. I'm just mean, Sandra.
Well, no, I just, you know, and the reason why I bring him up because I'm still sort of reeling from the Edwards thing.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the Edwards stuff here, I really think we should share this with people. You got a minute?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's share this with America. Rush Limbaugh, you know, he can't talk about the manifest superior political positions of old 894 Grampy McCain. So instead, he's going to talk about a guy who ain't running for president and somehow try to figure out a way to paint it on all the Democrats. This is just charming.
Back to the phones. Winston, Salem, North Carolina. This is James. Nice to have you here, sir. Hello. Is he gone? James, you there? Odd.
You know, that's kind of funny because I don't even have the call screener, and it happens to me all the time. This guy's got people he pays to make sure the people are on the line. But,
oh, yeah.
I mean, but we'll go on.
Darn He wanted to talk about Edwards and who knew and what were the motivations. And I've got a theory about the motivation.
He always does.
Well, I don't know that I can. I don't know that I can put this one on the air.
Why not?
Well, it's, I mean, at some point, you got to exhibit maturity and restraint. You know, and I do that constantly.
You know, the whole time we're running this, Sandra, not just you, but everybody listening, there should be a rolling loop, $400 million, $400 million, $400 million. This is what $400 million buys you.
And lure him to even use the word restraint in any form. What a pig.
Well, when he says, I'm going to use restraint, that means he is about to get really slimy. Okay? So, yeah, here we go.
Well, I don't know. Look. Let me see if I can run you through this and get you to think what I'm thinking without my actually saying it. That might be a pretty big talent, if I could do that. Make you think what I'm going to say without my having to say it. Therefore, if anybody gets in trouble for saying it, you say it. We know. We've been told that Elizabeth Edwards is smarter than John Edwards. That's part of the puff pieces on them that we've seen. Ergo, If Elizabeth Edwards is smarter than John Edwards...
You know, the funny thing is, knowing he's a Republican, Sandra, I know what he's about to say. I mean, I guess do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's just so predictable, and I like your part when that house Negro chirps in. Anyway, you can go ahead.
Yeah, Bo Snerdly. I think he's on his fifth Bo Snerdly.
Edwards, is it likely that she thinks she knows better than he does what his speeches ought to contain? And what kind of things he ought to be doing strategy-wise in the campaign. If she is smarter than he is, could it have been her decision to keep going with the campaign? In other words, could it be that she doesn't shut up? Now, that's as far as I'm going to go.
No, it isn't. But you knew that. Sandra, do you ever wonder why, like, women don't just tear him to pieces on the street sometimes?
Stockholm syndrome?
Could very well be. Could very well be. But he, you know, he's not done. He's just said he's not gonna, but he's gonna. So, you know, let's go ahead and let him. Here we go.
Well, if you're, Snerdly says he's missing something. If you're missing it, you're going to have to provide it. What are you missing? I can't close the loop on it. I can't close the loop on it. I'm in a little quicksand already today talking about how the chicks are giving us boring pictures of the female athletes from the Olympics. As I know, you know, the diversity crowd is going to be upset. They're going to just, you think the Olympics are just so you guys can ogle women? Yes, because we do not care to watch them compete. But back to Elizabeth and the Brett girl.
$400 million. You know, Sandra.
I mean, it's just.
One of these days, I'm going to put my fist through a window. We're going to go a clip too far on this program, and I'm going to put a foot through furniture or a fist through a window. $400 million for this.
No, I couldn't believe when, I don't know if you might have mentioned him, my lawyer, when he was talking about, he wanted him to jump his sleeve on his back. Anyway, it was
yeah.
Crazy.
No. I mention Malloy all the time because Malloy's a hero to me, but.
Yeah, anyway,
okay, but he's not. Yeah, I'm done. He's not done. But my God, he's gonna draw a line between Democrats, John Edwards' wife, John Edwards' affair, and there not being enough cheesecake in the Olympics. You cannot do this without drugs flowing through your vein. You just can't do it. You know what I mean? So yeah, we only got a little bit more left. So let's let him get the final indignity in.
I'm sorry, my friends. I can't. It just seems to me that Edwards might be attracted to a woman. Whose mouth did something other than talk?
$400 million.
And he just, you know, the way he strung that along as if it was some profanity that we all needed to hear. I mean, Jesus Christ, $400 million?
For that.
For that astute.
I mean, no offense, but off the cuff, I'm better than that any day of the week. Anybody calling this program's better than that any day of the week. And it goes to the heart of what Malloy himself was talking about, in that nobody, you know, I don't want to take his free speech away, Limbaugh's right to free speech. Hell no, I don't want to do that. But I agree with Malloy. Why does he have, you know, for these people who complain about the welfare state, what right does Rush Limbaugh have to be subsidized by corporate welfare?
Yeah, no, it's just incredible. And, you know, that whole segment, God.
I know. And it goes on and on. But it's all part of a piece. The business about this Jerome Corsi book, Obamanation.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be number one on the New York Times bestseller list 2 weeks in a row, according to the press releases. But nobody's bothering to mention the fact that it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list because of bulk sales.
Well, yeah, that's how they get those things on the bestseller list, I guess, right? And then they can use that as a springboard for...
Right. When you look at the New York Times bestseller list, they've got that little dagger thing that they'll put next to a book, and that indicates bulk sales. That indicates that the book is not being bought by somebody going, well, dang, I just got to have me that Jerome Corsi book about that abomination Obama. See, abomination. Isn't it cute? Isn't it clever? They probably hired a PR firm to come up with that for them and focus grouped it. And no, it's being bought by Newsmuck and World Nut Daily and Freeper Republic and all these filthy organizations, you know, Focus on the Family and the American Family Association. And they're buying them by the crates. I mean, they're buying them by the truckload.
Well, why am I having, like, deja vu in, you know, like, August 2004? Wasn't this what was going on?
Yeah, we've seen this movie. Now, the Obama people say that they're really ramping it up, and they're going to bust this guy right in the mouth, this Jerome Corsi.
Well, yeah, but as August limps along, you know, here we are where the Swift boat business was last time around. And, I mean, Obama, they talk, but I'm not looking at a response. I'm looking at this Corsi person on every show imaginable.
Right. And
I don't see no direct response. I mean, some, but...
Well, you I saw an email today, Sandra, that said that the Obama camp, every time they hear that Corsi's going to be on a program, they demand to have a surrogate for Obama on who will refute the charges in the book.
Are we getting those balance?
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you call and you demand it from Fox, well, Fox is going to do that for you. Because they're fair and balanced. Not.
Well, I mean, have they had any more polls lately, or have they?
Over at WD-40, I saw this. According to Gallup, Obama's up by 6, 48% to 42%.
Okay, well, you know, it's starting to get in the range where those people can within the flipping of election mode, right?
Sure, and that's what it's got
to
be. This has got to be one of those 2%, 1 or 2% elections. Because if it's a 1 or 2% election, literally the president of the United States, oh God, do you have any idea how sick it makes me to say this, Sandra? If it's a 1 or 2% election, then we can be guaranteed that the Klan will elect the next president.
Well, yeah, and, you know, also if he doesn't have a 10 to 12 point spread, it doesn't matter if 20 million more people come out and vote, if, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, yes, I do.
So, and also I'm still worried about the 19% that either won't or no relatives or friends who just can't bring themselves to vote. I mean, talking about the Bradley effect, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or the Pumaniacs. You know, the Puma people, the people who haven't gotten their Unity Pony yet.
Oh boy.
And, you know, I just can't vote for him. He destroyed the historic presidency of Hillary Clinton. And no offense, but, you know, Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Senator Dodd, Senator Biden, everybody who got into this race knew that it was brutal, bare-knuckles primary politics. And everybody knew that, with the possible exception, apparently, of Senator Clinton's supporters. You know, what did they want? The crowning ceremony from Miss America?
Well, it just speaks to the whole American, you know, puerile type attitude. You know what I mean? It's so immature and weird.
Well, it is, and I hope they come around. I hope they come around, and I'm not trying to be mean to them or anything, but daggum, you're going to sit out an election or vote for John McCain or vote for Ralph Nader or vote for Bob Barr because you've decided that America, you'd rather screw America than give America a little bit of a chance? I mean, because, Sandra, I think you and I are probably on the same page. The election of Barack Obama is no guarantee that, you know, that prosperity's just around the corner, a chicken's going to be in every pot, and happy days are here again. But there's at least a puncher's chance of it happening.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, I have my issues with the whole Democratic Party, but a McCain presidency, I don't know what that will do, but it can't be good.
In
fact, he's not right in the head, you know?
No, he's not home.
It's just what it is, yeah. You know, and that is like, not again.
The doorbell don't ring. We've seen this movie, too, and it ran from 1980 to 1988.
Yeah, I've seen that show. I saw that up close and personal. Oh, Ronnie.
I ain't up for it. I am honest to God not up for it, Sandra. So.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, the first thing, I saw Ronald Reagan in person, if you can believe this. I remember it because I was like 5, and my babysitter went to hear him speak. And I was like just a few feet from him. I'll never forget that. And this would have been when he was governor of California.
And it's just sort of seared into your memory now?
Oh, yes! I can tell you, you know what I mean? That memory is so strong. I really remember him just as clear as day. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know why the hell my babysitter would have gone.
Yeah, go find her. What were you thinking? I still wake up in a cold sweat at night because of that. What, you know, that's child abuse.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, it is Reagan, but worse because, I mean, what is up with this Russian thing and McCain? Because I know from past reading about his antipathy of Russia, he has a real issue with the so-called Soviet Union, which is what he still thinks is going on.
Well, right, because, you know, he was threatening the Russians over a country that doesn't exist, you know, Czechoslovakia. He did it 3 times, no less. What's with it? Well, personally, my guess is, one, the thing I put forward a couple of nights ago, namely that if the Russians are busy focusing on Georgia, then they're a little less able to keep us from going absolutely sprayed roach crazy in Iran, one. And two, there's no more Soviet Union. There's no more commies. That big bugaboo is gone from the, has been pulled out of the Republican pistol. And they're desperately trying to breathe some life back into it. Yeah, the commies, yeah, the Russians. Yeah. And they're hoping to make some sort of a Jungian subconscious psycho something or another. Connection with the old hardline anti-communists with it. Well, you know, that Obama, he'll probably want to sit down and talk with the Russians. Well, I don't want to talk.
Right, but this creation of the enemies far and wide, they have no, there is no end to what these people are coming up with. What, do they seriously think we need to have a shooting war? With Russia?
Well, there's your big mistake, Sandra. You done used the bad word. You said, do they think? And the short answer is no, they do not think. They're doing this is all believing. This is all yearning. This is all wanting. This is like, this is like a puberty crush, okay? They want them a new war. They're tired of the old war. They hate not having war because not having war is bad for business. And it's really exciting when we got a new one and the brass bands march down the street and all the news networks roll out new graphics and martial music and bum bum da dum war update. That crap is apparently good for the Repig Licking Party.
Yeah, but last I heard, the Russians ain't disarmed. They got missiles that can still visit my home state, right?
Yeah, that would be yes. And the other side of this is that, you know, what's getting ready to start in a week? Why, it's the Democratic National Convention.
No, oh, no. I mean, is it true that Karl Rove was in the community?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, it's God. Yeah, I think that's, honest to God, Sandra, I think that's where he was when they wanted to subpoena him to talk before Congress, and he blew off the subpoena.
Okay, so well, let me get this straight. Now, you know I'm fond of the vacationing on the barge in the French Riviera.
Right.
But there's also vacationing in the Caucasian. Is that a place where you go?
Yeah, Caucasian in the Caucasians. I mean, it's a white boy wonderland. Yeah, he was in the Crimea.
Oh.
Didn't, yeah, we had a war. Yeah, there was, wasn't there? I think there was a poem written about it, The Charge of the Light Brigade. That was part of the little Crimean dust-up.
I can't do anything but laugh. I'm thinking now Condoleezza Hare is making her gibberish. You ever listen to what she says? I mean,
listen
to what she says. She don't make no sense.
Well, no, she makes me regret the fact that I retired from psychoactives. Because I'm thinking maybe if I had something that would help, I might understand what she was saying. You know, because sometimes when you listen to somebody who's whacked, if you're whacked too, they make sense.
Well, the thing is, what Condoleezza Rice represents to me is that, man, you know, it don't matter if she is a black person that got ahead on I don't know what, because she seems so incompetent. I don't understand what the deal is with her. Isn't she a specialist?
Oh yeah, she's got her a PhD in Russian and piano playing. Really? And so, you know, when she calls Vladimir Putin or Medvedev or whoever, she can speak really bad Russian to them. I mean, that's her whole claim to fame. You know, we're going to make her Secretary of State because she speaks Russian. And, you know, but again, they wanted trouble with the Russians. Okay? They wanted trouble with the Russians. This is perfect timing because they've got a chance to score a little PR coup and take away some of the starch out of Obama's acceptance of the nomination. You've got the Iranian factor going on. You've got the stirring up the old Russian bugaboo, scared of the Reds thing going on. And then there's the fact that these people do not know how to exist in a world of peace. It was, I guess, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times that pointed out the numbers on our diplomatic corps. We've got, and one of the things that just jumped out at me, we've got more members of the military bands, the Army, Navy, Marine, and Air Force bands. There are more members of the bands in the military than there are members of the U.S. diplomatic corps. How's that?
Wow.
Yeah, that...
When did that go down?
Welcome to the last 8 years. There are positions open inside the State Department that the government can't and won't fill.
Yeah, well, no, that's part of their Heritage Foundation plan to, you know, totally cripple the government, right?
Well, yeah, and the Republicans are saying that it's the Congress's fault. And, you know, on this one, I don't fault the Congress. Because we've got enough graduates of the back of the matchbook, Draw Spunky, School of Jesus Mathematics, as run by Pat Robertson and the Falwell heirs. We got enough of them in government. It's going to take us a while to sweep them out anyway. So that part we just got to have to deal with. But more members of military bands than we have diplomats? Holy smoke!
No, that situation, you know, in Russia is just, I don't know. It's also suspicious. Or, you know, we've just been so beat down by the lies and stuff, you don't know if you're coming or going. But I know one thing. They don't seem to have no problem showing dead bodies up in this mug. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. And the other thing that's worth noting is that the Russians turned around and in justifying what they did, you know, they jammed September 11th down our throat.
Oh, please. I mean, no, it's just painful to watch the administration try to, you know, contort their spin on how what they're doing is so wrong. It's just a joke.
Well, this is from an article in the Telegraph in the UK, Sandra, and it says, seeking to justify Moscow's overwhelming response to Georgia's attempt to reassert itself over the breakaway province, Mr. Ivanov said that Russia had no choice but to take military action, just as the U.S. felt bound to respond after the 9/11 attacks. Quote,
"We just reacted because we didn't have any other option. Any civilized country would act the same way. I may remind you, 9/11, the reaction was similar."
There you go. George gets his 9/11 jammed right down his 9/11 throat by the Russians.
Well, no, I mean,
and he's kind of got to like it. He's got to eat it, you know.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was, you know, definitely partly his sort of preemptive unilateral no UN methods that's just coming back to bite him in the ass with this.
And it's unilateralism is going to it's going to keep doing it. All around the globe. Whenever, and, you know, we said this. When George started the war, my God, there's McCain out there yesterday saying, "My friends, in the 21st century, nations do not invade other sovereign nations." And he's saying, you know, you said a little bit ago that the guy's not, you know, he's slipping, that, you know, there's a few teeth missing off the cogs. How are there not teeth missing off the cogs when you can say that and not even have the audience chuckle a little bit at you? He didn't say that. No, he did say that. I'll be danged.
No, no, it's pretty outrageous. I mean, I haven't looked at it today, but I mean, are they still fighting, or is there something ceasefire in place? Or
it's a tenuous ceasefire, but nobody's promised not to, you know, not gonna.
Well, I know that the Soviets. I keep thinking that. Oh my God, the Russians are not pulling out of these separatist regions now, right? They're staying there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They haven't gone anywhere yet. They don't, and they're not. Don't look to appear. They don't look to be packing bags.
Yeah, they're planning to actually.
Then today, you know, he keeps following up. It's one winner right after another. they published Grandpa McCranky in the Wall Street Journal. Did you see that?
No. He wrote something?
Yeah. He published an op-ed that was called, "My friends, we are all Georgians." And the Wall Street Journal published it, and it contains this quote. "For anyone who thought that stark international aggression was a thing of the past, the last week must have come as a startling wake-up call." And that's like, you know, you ever have somebody, you know, like when you were a kid on the playground or something, ever have anybody throw something at you from behind? You know, it just kind of hits you in the back and goes, whack! What? That's like, you know, he says this stuff, and that's what it does to me.
Well, no, because you're left there thinking, am I going crazy when you're hearing stuff like that? Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, you just scratch your head. You really do. You just scratch your head and go, where am I? Andy M.
Well, no, but see, hello. Last I heard, it was Georgia who invaded something autonomous,
South Ossetia, which is just south of North Ossetia, broke away from Georgia. And the Georgians didn't do much about it because, and the Russians started issuing Russian passports to South Ossetians. And then Georgia, who has had 1,000 United States Marines military advisors in their country, decided that they were all full of themselves and they were going to go off and bring those South Ossetians into line.
Just like Saddam decided he wanted to annex Kuwait, perhaps?
Yeah, hey, yeah, yes. God.
Yeah, no, I mean, it isn't funny, actually. It's really quite scary because, I'm sorry, the specter of the nuclear thing is just sort of freaking me out.
It should, because, I saw a graffito from, I forget what country, but I said there was this wonderful website that I saw, Sandra, that had Bush graffiti from all over the world, and there was one that had put Bush on the front of the nuclear bomb just like the end of Dr. Strangelove, you know, with his cowboy hat and, yee-haw!
You would
do well to remain aware of the nuclear specter.
But we don't have Kennedy in power right now. That's the thing that's even more scary. We have idiots who really don't know
Bring them on. Bring them on.
Okay, well, on that note, you know, have a good evening.
I know. Hope we hear from you soon. If there's a big light in the sky, well, you know, it's been fun.
Oh, it's been real. All right, Bob.
Take care, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. How can you not be nervous about something like this? We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. You know, I thought we were going to get a break when the Soviet Union so-called collapsed. Remember when we used funny little phrases like peace dividend? You remember that? Remember the peace dividend? I know, it's kind of like remembering pet rocks. Or earth shoes. But do you remember the peace dividend? The Soviet Union had collapsed, and so we were going to pull some of the money out of the just gluttonous, ravenously self-eating Cold War. And we were going to have us a peace dividend, and we were going to start talking about fixing our schools and our roads and maybe making sure that Social Security was okay. There was all this stuff we were going to do with our peace dividend. Here's a news flash. Repiglicans don't want no peace dividends. Just saying. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hot damn, toe-to-toe nuclear war with the Ruskies.
Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed. Can he make it? Can he make it in one of them babies? I tell you what, if I got a good pilot and he's flying that thing and he ain't got but one engine, he can limp that thing and he can fly it real low. Oh, dear me.
You know, the funny thing is, we're still flying those things.
Yeah, we kind of are, aren't we?
We're still flying those things, Bob.
I know. Boss Man Wayne worked on them when he was a much, much younger man.
Oh, I talked to a guy who was flying those a couple years ago with B-52s. His great-grandfather flew the same one he's flying.
How is it we're out there building the F-22 Raptor, Ben, and we haven't come up with a better bomber than the B-52 Stratofortress?
Well, you know, as an engineer, I kind of want to think that it was probably the best job anyone could have done.
It is an archetype of its class. I mean, there ought to be one in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art, frankly.
Well, at least the Smithsonian's got one.
Yeah.
They've got hull number 3, I think, there. Hull number 1 didn't look anything like a B-52. It had a bubble cockpit. And number 2 got destroyed. And the rest of all the older ones have had their wings ripped off, and they're laying in the desert with the wings laying next to them so the Russian satellites can see that they can't fly anymore.
Charming,
isn't
it?
You can find that on Google Earth, by the way. You can go and look at it.
Oh, yeah, I have. It's fascinating. You know, I'd kind of like to have one, just to play in the backyard.
Where'd be fun?
Pilot to Bombardier. Yeah, because, you know, you think like I do. I mean, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that'd be great, yeah. I always wanted to have a submarine.
Well, that would be fun too, because I had one of those toy ones, Ben, when I was a little bitty kid, that you could put a fizzy tablet or an Alka-Seltzer in the little chamber in the bottom, and you screwed it back on, and it would sit there, and you filled the ballast tanks, and it would putter along under the bathtub, propelled by the gases coming out of the Alka-Seltzer tablet.
I still have mine.
How did I know? Someday I'm going to learn, Ben Birch.
Anyway. Called is to say something I have learned recently, that if you have an iPhone or an iPod, you can listen to our show.
That's true. That's absolutely true, and I'm so glad you reminded me. The horn is on iPhone.
Yep. You go into the Apple App Store, and you buy the Tuner application by Null River Software, and I think it's $4.99. And you go into the search function in that thing, and you look for head-on, and you'll find our streams. You can then click them and save a bookmark. And then wherever you are, you can be listening to the horn.
That's beautiful. Basically, it's the same archive of listings that's in iTunes, right?
It's exactly right.
Only you can take it with you.
You can take it with you anywhere you are. If you have one of those little things that'll plug it into the cassette deck or little FM transmitters that'll listen on your radio, you can listen to that anywhere you go across country.
That is a beautiful thing. You know, that's enough to make me want an iPhone.
Oh, I really do. I have an iPod here because I have to have one to test. But if I could afford an iPhone, I'd have one right now.
So even if you don't have an iPhone, you probably know somebody who does, and tell them we're there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It works on an iPod, too, but you got to be in a Wi-Fi zone. You know, if you're sitting there at the Panera Bread or at the Starbucks and you've got Wi-Fi there, you can listen.
God, that's neat. And I know that the terrestrial radio people have got to be sitting around, you know, drumming their fingers on the table. What are we going to do about this?
There's nothing they can do. This is the future of radio.
Yes, it is. And, hey, we're already there. All we got to do is survive.
Well, you know, in a few years you're going to hear that Clear Channel has started closing terrestrial broadcast stations, at which point in time their stock will rise. Well, I think our stock ought to rise right now because we already done it.
That's true. That's true. And, of course, I'm sure somewhere along the way you had a hand in this.
Well, I did kind of suggest to the guy that he put us in there, yeah.
What a guy you are.
Anyways, my friend, you take care.
All right. Take care, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I'm glad Ben reminded me of that because I was going to get to it. Yeah. If you don't have an iPhone and you want to be able to listen in your car, listening to internet radio in the car. You know, we've got a couple of listeners who already do it, among others our buddy Alan, the former trucker, now Alan the painter. But this just got a whole lot easier. On the iPhone, you go into the Apple App Store, little bitty cheap application called Tuner by Null River. You install it on the iPhone. And then you just hit the search button in Tuner. You enter HEAD-ON. And then you'll get your choice between our 16 kbps stream and our 48 kbps stream. And bang, you're on the horn, in your car, on your boat, at the park. It's no longer something that just happens at home or at a computer. Is that cool or what? I want an iPhone. I wonder if we'd have service out here in the hills and hollers. Oh, so many things. Let's see if... Oh, doggone it. Maybe we'll get them back. That is just... And like Dan said, it also works on the iPod Touch when you're in a Wi-Fi zone. But that is just... I love me some technology. So where did 2 hours of the program go? So, I mean, really, this one's flown by again. We got about an hour left to cuss and discuss, as the saying goes. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not a $400 million a year radio talent. No, the people on the horn are just profound radio talents who, for the most part, do it for something, for a reason that Rush Limbaugh can never know. We do it because we love it. I want to share a couple of things with you. I mentioned that I know that we do have right-wingers who listen to the program. And occasionally I get an email from one of them, and we needle each other back and forth. It's a pleasantly mean-spirited needling. But this is one of those things that flies around the internet. You know, a lie can be around, a lie gets around the block before the truth gets its shoes on, you know, that kind of thing. This one, and I've got two of them here, and I want to share them with you, and I'd like your thoughts on them. Because these are amazing insights into the way the right-wing authoritarian mind works. This one is called Letter from One Angry Woman. I don't know who wrote it, but they should have signed it. Well, wingers don't sign things because wingers are mostly, you know, cowards. Or this one might not be signed because it was written by some wingnut political hack PR firm and just turned into viral email. I don't know who wrote it, but they should have signed it. Some powerful words. This woman should run for president. Now, we don't know who wrote it because she didn't sign it, but they can tell us that it was written by a housewife from New Jersey. I'm surprised it wasn't written by the little old lady from Dubuque. Written by a housewife from New Jersey and sounds like it. This is one ticked off lady. Pay attention. Now hear this.
Are we fighting a war on terror or aren't we? Was it or was it not started by Islamic people who brought it to our shores on September 11th, 2001? Were people from all over the world, mostly Americans, not brutally murdered that day in downtown Manhattan, across the Potomac from our nation's capital, and in a field in Pennsylvania? Did nearly 3,000 men, women, and children die a horrible burning or crushing death that day, or didn't they? And I'm supposed to care that a copy of the Quran was desecrated when an overworked American soldier kicked it or it got wet? Well, I don't. I don't care at all. I'll start caring when Osama bin Laden turns himself in and repents for incinerating all those innocent people on 9/11. I'll care about the Quran when the fanatics in the Middle East start caring about the Holy Bible, the mere possession of which is a crime in Saudi Arabia.
Never mind the fact that the Saudi Arabians are in business with the Bush administration.
That would be a little inconvenient.
It would be equally inconvenient to note today that Bush appointees on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals rejected a lawsuit by victims of September 11th against the Saudi royal family for the material aid and comfort they gave to the 9/11 hijackers on the flimsy pretext, based upon the old Long Island Railway case, and you'll find it in your torts book, of foreseeability. The Second U.S. Court of Appeals said the defendants, the Saudi royal family, were protected by sovereign immunity. And the plaintiffs would need to prove that the princes engaged in international actions or intentional actions aimed at U.S. residents. Now, time out for just a second here, please. Did you catch that? The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the defendants were protected by sovereign immunity. I seem to recall, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I am wrong once in a while, but I seem to recall that during the debate on habeas corpus, that all the wing nuts hopped up and down and flapped their little bat wings and hollered things like, "Oh, the U.S. Constitution don't apply to no foreigners." Didn't they? Did I mishear that? Because I think they did. "Ain't no foreigners got rights under the Constitution." I did hear that, didn't I? But that's okay. The federal courts,
activist judges,
have said that those people that this wingnut is in this viral email is complaining about, or trying to remind us, were they not crushed in incinerating deaths? You know what I mean? activist judges protected the people who funded the people who murdered the people on September 11th. And the people who funded the people who murdered the people on September 11th were the bosom pals of that good, godly, compassionate, conservative man, George W. Bush. But back to the email.
I'll care when these thugs tell the world they are sorry for chopping off Nick Berg's head while Berg screamed through his gurgling, slashed throat.
Yeah, little old lady just kind of wrote this at her coffee table in Jersey. Yeah, okay, sure.
I'll care when the cowardly so-called insurgents in Iraq come out and fight like men instead of disrespecting their own religion. What do you care about their religion? You just said you don't care if American soldiers piss on it. Never mind. Instead of disrespecting their own religion by hiding in mosques.
Again, what do you care, lady? You want their holy book desecrated, and it doesn't matter to you when it drives them crazier than a sprayed roach when we desecrate it. And suddenly you want them to honor their religion?
Check. Got it. I'll care when the mindless zealots who blow themselves up in search... Oh, wait. I got to go back. This lady wants the cowardly so-called insurgents in Iraq to come out and fight like men.
Lady, we need to talk. Because, see, you sound just like the British. By Jove, I don't think it's at all cricket that these American insurgents are hiding behind trees like common savages and behind walls and picking off our very carefully, expensively, and brightly dressed British grenadiers before we can fight them. Don't they know that the honorable thing for them to do is to line up in the field with their uniforms or their squirrel guns or whatever it is that they have handy and face us like men? Until then, we shall not respect them. So there. Tea time!
I'll care when the American media stops pretending that their First Amendment liberties are somehow derived from international law instead of the United States Constitution's Bill of Rights. That's the Bill O'Reilly of Rights, by the way. In the meantime, when I hear a story about a brave Marine roughing up an Iraqi terrorist to obtain information, know this. I don't care.
Okay, here's one from today's news. There's a reason I let these things lay around, and I can't tell you that it happens deliberately or anything, because it doesn't. This is kismet. This is a lanyap. This is serendipity, all right? Headline. 6 U.S. sailors working as prison guards at Camp Buka in southern Iraq are facing courts-martial charged with assault. Of course, you can't find this in the Merkin Free First Amendment for-profit press. No. Got to go to the BBC to get this. Why are they facing courts-martial?
Well, probably because of some sort of un-American plot.
They're facing courts-martial, and they're charged with assault because, well, the people in the Iraqis in the concentration camp, good, bad, or indifferent, are treated like animals, okay? And in a situation where your humanity has been taken away from you and the only way that you can resist is with inhuman conduct, well, that's what we'll obtain. And so, some of these Iraqis, good, bad, and different, we don't know. It's not like they're going to get a fair trial or a Western-style democratic trial with, traditional Anglo-American-style legal rights or anything. We done away with all of that. Some of these concentration camp prisoners spat at their guards. Some of these prisoners even threw caca, poopy, human poopy at their guards. How did the guards respond? They went into a cell, and they filled it, absolutely filled it, with pepper spray. Then they beat a couple of the prisoners, and they threw the prisoners, 8 of them, into the pepper spray filled room, and shut it and sealed it and locked it. Just thought you might want to know that. So let's go back to the letter from that angry woman in New Jersey.
When I hear a story about a brave Marine roughing up an Iraqi terrorist to obtain information, know this. I don't care. When I see a fuzzy photo of a pile of naked Iraqi prisoners who have been humiliated in what amounts to a college hazing incident, rest assured, I don't care.
That, because that's what that was. That was a college hazing incident where they dumped a bunch of cans of capsaicin spray, which is you don't want, and threw 8 concentration camp prisoners into the room and sealed it up. You know, breathe now, Haji.
When I see a wounded terrorist get shot in the head when he is told not to move because he might be booby-trapped, you can take it to the bank. I don't care. When I hear that a prisoner who was issued a Quran and a prayer mat and fed special food that is paid for by my tax dollars is complaining that his holy book is being mishandled, you can absolutely believe in your heart of hearts, I don't care.
Oh, by the way, then there's that story about the soldiers in Iraq who were using the Quran for target practice. Now, me personally, I don't give a fig about the Quran. I don't give a fig about the Bible or anybody else's holy book. At least not from the standpoint of it being, you know, holy. 'Cause it ain't. It's a book. Literacy is sacred. Literature is sacred. But unless it's the last one of its kind, you know, like the last Gutenberg Bible that has cultural and societal and technological relevance, I'm not getting all broke up. On the other hand, I do, however, understand that the world is filled with misguided people who are all wrapped up in the holiness of their religion and the specialness of the religion and their absolute conviction that they're going to be the only ones who go to heaven. And they get all bent. But, you know, so, you know, hey, Mrs. New Jersey, can I take a big pee on the Bible and you won't care about that either? Probably not.
And, oh, by the way, I've noticed that sometimes it's spelled Koran and other times Quran. Well, Jimmy cracked corn, and you guessed it, I don't care.
Yeah, she's from Jersey because she's using Jimmy cracked corn. I guess she's been in Jersey since she moved up from, you know, Op, Alabama. Jimmy cracked corn, please give me a break.
If you agree with this viewpoint, pass this email on to all your email friends. Sooner or later, it'll get to the people responsible for this ridiculous behavior. If you don't agree, then by all means hit the delete button. Should you choose the latter, then please don't complain when more atrocities committed by radical Muslims happen here in our great country. And may I add, some people spend an entire lifetime wondering if they made a difference in the world, but the Marines don't have that problem. Ronald Reagan.
That sorry bastard. All of his military types said, Mr. Reagan, Mr. President, we can get the Marines to anywhere they need to be in Lebanon when they're aboard their ship, put them on the helicopter, and boom, they're there. We don't need to put them ashore at that barracks in Beirut, okay? We don't need to do that, Mr. President!
Well, I'm the Commander-in-Chief, and I want those 230 Marines in that barracks in Beirut. And you will do it, mister, because I am your commander-in-chief.
And they snapped a salute, and they said, yes, sir. And they put those Marines
aboard helicopters, and they put them in the barracks, and they put them in Beirut, and they got murdered, and the blood is on Ronald Reagan's hands, and that sorry, rotten, evil old bastard is rotting in hell as we speak as a result of it and many other things.
I have another quote that I would like to add, and I hope you forward all this. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under, also by Ronald Reagan. One last thought for the day. In case we find ourselves starting to believe all the anti-American sentiment and negativity, we should remember England's Prime Minister Tony Blair's words during an interview when asked by one of his parliament members, I was just telling my girlfriend the other day, if an interesting monster can't have an interesting hairdo, I don't know what this world is coming to. But Bobby Hens, please. This is never going to hold. You're going to need a pen. Anyway, Tony Blair said, a simple way to take measure of a country is to look at how many want in and how many want out. The last thing, by the way, that we should do is elect a Muslim as president of the United States, someone who claims to love America yet will not salute the flag, will not pledge allegiance to our flag, and said in a church listening to a pastor that he hates America. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, you stupid twit.
A Muslim as president of the United States, someone who claims to love America, yet will not salute the flag.
Hey, lady! What do you call it when George Bush puts his right hand over his stinking navel for the Pledge of Allegiance like he needs a little Mylanta? But, you know, that's me. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. One, Jesus Christ, and two, the American GI. One died for your soul, the other for your freedom. You might want to pass this on, as many seem to forget both of them. Amen. I'm passing this on, lady. God bless you, and God bless America.
I had to share. I just had to share. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Luke?
Just remember one time I remember somebody saying about the Bible was, if it wasn't for the fact it was a religious book, it'd be thrown out of most libraries for all the murder, incest, rapes, everything that's in it.
Yeah, a little pornography here and there, and Lot's lady and Lot's daughters did say one unto the other, yea, verily, let us get our daddy liquored up and do him, as he will never find us a husband. Yeah, I remember that part, too.
Now let's throw Daniel into the lion pit. Oh, yeah, human sacrifice. That's good. Yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of fun that I won't let children read in the Bible.
I know. Let's get on to a different subject. I'm sorry, I just cold call. I just walked in the door. I don't know what you've been talking about, so if I cover something, tell me.
No sweat.
Okay. Well, I sent you the link there to that little paper is the hometown where the fellow over in Arkansas.
Oh, I know. I talked to them earlier. I talked to them earlier today.
Okay.
Well,
have you seen the fellow? The thing is, now some of them are trying to say, well, it was a random shoot, and I'm sitting there going, look, he drove 30 miles. He didn't shoot nobody along the road. He drove to downtown Little Rock. He went into a building, didn't shoot anybody on the way in, went up and asked for the man by name.
Yep, random act of violence.
But that's what they're going to end up saying. It's just a random act of violence. Look. My question, what I put in the email was true. I said, I'm just waiting, and they'll find a Limbaugh book or something, and all of a sudden, well, we have to erase this story. This story never happened.
Yeah, yeah, oh, exactly. And, well, you know, it's funny, when I called today, I kid you not, Luke, when I called the Arkansas Secretary of State's office today to find out about this guy's politics, the little girl was just kind of, you know how when you're talking to somebody and you're doing something on the computer, you'll kind of read what's on the computer as you're talking to the person you're talking to on the phone, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's typing, and she goes, huh, this registration is flagged as may be removed. They had already gotten into the computer system, and, I mean, if I had called tomorrow, it would have been gone.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you know, it's like say they said in the piece that they'd already sent, you know, went on a search warrant into his house and apparently found weaponry and, you know.
Well, that's where they found that's where they found the post-it note with the Guatney guy's name on it.
Yeah, so you're sitting there, and I'm sitting there wondering, what else did you all find? Let's have a little talk, boys. You know, I scoured through everything I could find. You know, I went through the Northwest Arkansas Gazette and you know, went down the list of all the ones I could think of. And like I say, there's nothing saying what, you know, if these guys have mentioned word one about what they found, other than weapon, other than some ammo. But apparently they were in there for 2 hours searching.
Right. Now, they do know what he wrote on the wall at Target.
Yeah. Yeah, which story you read. Some tell what it is, some don't.
And they do, and they do know, they went and talked to the guy who runs the gun club, who said he was an average to below average shooter, and he never talked about politics.
And I'm sure that the NRA had anything on him. Don't worry, those papers have been burned already. Any pictures of him? Quit burn them.
I know. Well, I'll be darned.
It's amazing. Every one of these things.
Why do you reckon an insane killer like this would have a whole bunch of books by Michael Savage and Limbaugh in his house? Those are good, sane Americans.
I'm sure probably somewhere there's probably something to be by that fellow named LaPierre. You know, Wayne LaPierre, head of the NRA. Yes.
I know.
It's just amazing to sit and watch this stuff. The one that's got me right now, though, is... Have you noticed NBC has gotten, as I call it, kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish now? If you watch Oberman and Abrams, they're going along fine. But right now this week, like say, Tweety Bird's on vacation, I guess, and it had Schuster sitting in. And it's amazing to sit and watch him. It's like say, between him and Andrea Mitchell, I'm trying to figure out which one has the deeper Clinton complex. Because amazingly, anything that happens in the Democratic Party has been orchestrated by Bill and Hillary.
Well, yeah, it's like that Freeper comment that ELO sent me to, where they said, "I wonder if the gunman's car was led away by a 34 car motorcade. Why did Hillary do it?"
Yeah. I mean, it's just getting downright, I guess the word would be sort of stark when you turn on and listen to certain people, like say Andrea Mitchell has had. I believe it's an obsession. Hers is almost as bad as Matthews. That anything that happens is somehow tied to the Clintons. Now I know they do a lot of things, but I'm sorry, they don't do it all.
Well, no, Rush Limbaugh, but see, Rush Limbaugh has told people for years that if you get in the way of the Clintons, you are a marked man. They will take you out.
That's the case, then you must be speaking to us, Rush, from the grave, because you'd have been target number one.
Yeah, you're still up and walking around and celebrating that new contract. You and your cat and your 24,000-square-foot mansion.
I was going to say, that 24,000-square-foot mansion would have had a gas leak and blown up long ago.
Lord God, you give me $4 million, let alone $40 million or $400 million. First thing I'm going to do, and see, this tells us a lot about Rush, because, you know, he doesn't have any friends. He's one of those Richard Corey types. You let me have money like that, I'm throwing a huge party. I'm renting a whole blessed hotel on the riverfront in St. Louis and paying the airfare for the entire Horn audience to come and have a blast.
Well, now, you know what the thing about that is, don't you? He takes him and a few of his friends, and they go down to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, the land of the ever available little boys.
Yeah. And like I say, I still to this day, I want somebody to ever answer me that question is, why is it Rush Limbaugh was caught carrying Viagra back and forth on an all-boys weekend? I still want that explained to me.
Never mind.
I know.
His misogyny, his hatred of women is so abundantly clear. I played that clip of him saying that, my friends, maybe John Edwards wanted a woman who could do something with her mouth besides talk.
No, and the thing is, though, as bad as they are, we're expected out of them. The one that got me the other day was they were sitting there talking about Edwards, and they were talking, this was on CNN, and they were talking about men of power who have gotten in trouble. So, of course, they showed you the picture of him. They showed you the picture of Bill and Hillary. They showed you the picture of Mr. Spitzer and his wife. And I'm sitting there going, well, gee, I didn't see no picture of Newt Gingrich.
Or McCain. Or Vitters.
Packwood. I mean, oh, there's a whole list on the right side, but amazingly enough, not one of their pictures was shown. Isn't that a nice little bit of subliminal advertising in a way?
Dirty bastards. You know, I mean, I just.
You know what I mean? Oh, the one, actually, I didn't watch it, but I know I sent you a link and I know you've seen it. My golly, for one night, Alan Colmes had a spine.
He did. He grew
Damn,
one.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Yeah, when he sat there and he asked that wingnut if having an affair disqualified you to be president, what about John McCain? And when John when the life support system for a haircut started screaming about, but McCain was tortured every day for 5 years in a POW camp, as if, you know, that, okay, well, you know, I was tortured for every day for 5 years in a POW camp. I get to come home and leave my wife who has a limp now and ain't pretty no more. Okay?
And the thing was, it wasn't like he went straight from his wife to his second wife. No. John did a lot of partying.
Well, he's a little party boy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing to sit there and watch it, and you realize, you know, it's like, guys, I don't mind you telling the story, but you have to tell both sides of the story. It's like, I'm getting to the point now, it's like, okay, from now on, when they introduce him, I want him introduced as John McCain, thief and adulterer. Come on, I want him.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe go get Ross Perot.
Well,
to tell that story.
Well, the one on that, though, that got to me, though, is I'm sitting there going, well, we can't really trust somebody like that, and I'm sitting there going, gee, now, Sean, aren't you the same people that about every other day have some fellow named Newt Gingrich in to talk? Now, this is a guy who was a serial adulterer. I mean, what is Newt on now? Wife number three or number four? He's trying to catch Rush.
You know, that statement that you just made, Luke, may be more freighted than either of us are probably willing to talk about. He's trying to catch Rush. God help them both if he does.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those. They're sitting there. Oh, I'm sitting here now watching Countdown and Rachel's guest hosting. And they're sitting there going down the list of all the senators on the Republican side who, amazingly enough, have already said they can't make the convention this year.
There's lots of them that can't.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's only about 10 that's already said they can't. There's about another 10 that say we aren't real sure yet.
Now, you know, Minneapolis is awful cold in September.
Well, it's one of those things. I bet your boy that night that pretzel brain speaks. I bet there's one they'll pan in the audience. You won't see a person you recognize.
No. Where do you suppose they will put all the African American Republicans this time?
Well, we have a broom closet back here. It's spacious. 3-4 people sitting there, easy.
Lordy. I know.
Oh, I tell you what, it's.
But now you said you didn't catch it. I did find out, Luke. I called and made some inquiries. Mm-hmm. And Timothy Dale Johnson, born February 3rd, 1958, voted in the Republican primary in 2008. Voted in the Republican primary in 2004. Voted Republican primary in 2002. Registered in the year 2000. In 2006, for some reason that's not apparent, I think he messed up. He voted in the Democratic primary. But there you have it. Yeah, another Republican carry.
Oh, he was probably trying to throw it one way or the other. Then he was probably one of the ones that, you know, go in and vote for whoever's in second place.
Well, and that is what they do in the South during in primaries,
yeah.
Where you can cross party lines and vote in the primary willy nilly without regard to your party.
Well, so what's the one down there in Florida? I remember the one a few years ago in Florida where had somebody that was really going to do well who would have beat the Republican, but the Republicans went down there and all voted for the weaker opponent in the primary and got them to run, whereas, of course, the Republican beat them. That to me, that's just cheating. You know, I mean, that's just legalized rigging a race.
Exactly. But it goes on every election.
I know. Well, let me let you go, bud. You got other people waiting.
All right. Take care, Luke. Good hearing from you. Thanks for the link. Bye.
No problem. Bye.
Bye. And on we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Juanita. What's up?
John McCain's daughter has written a book about her daddy. It's
yes.
For children. Huh? You heard about it?
No.
It's for children up to 10 years of age, or I believe, something like that. And she tells about him being in prison and how he didn't leave because his people were going to have to stay. And you know how brave he was. And then when he came back, he met her mother. And then I guess they had two other children and adopted a girl. And she doesn't say anything about his first wife or her half-sister from that marriage. but...
Of course not.
It's already on Amazon, you know, but it's not available yet. You can order it, but it's not available yet.
No, it'll probably be available maybe, you know, sometime shortly after the November election.
Yeah. And then it says it's maybe they're going to put it out on the convention or something because it's saying that he was nominated to become the Republican candidate. I guess that's the way the book ends.
Oh, boy. Nothing like a snappy ending.
I know. But imagine leaving... You know, what I would love to see is when she goes out to plug the book, that people would ask her about her half-sister while she wasn't in the book.
I forgot, my friends. I forgot.
Mercy. Mercy.
Well, I thought that's kind of spooky.
Well, yeah, it is. Well, creepy. Creepy. That's a good word, creepy.
Mm-hmm. And it, they're trying.
Oh, and they're not going to let up. Like I said, the Georgia-Russia thing, keeping that ginned up and trying to keep that high in the news takes away a lot of PR effect of Obama's nomination in Denver. And frankly, if they could figure out a way to get the Russians to ramp up the attack. On the night of the speech, they'd do that, Juanita. That's how hateful and sleazy they are.
Yeah, I don't doubt any of that. I wouldn't be surprised at anything those people do. And did you hear on Guy James? He was telling about he's sending Lindsey Graham and Lieberman as his envoys to Georgia.
Well, that'll work out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can see Lieberman getting off the plane. Got any Arabs we can kill? Gotta be some Muslims causing this. Yeah. Or Iranians. This is the Iranians' fault.
I always remember Lindsey Graham from the impeachment of Bill.
Oh.
And I remember one of the last things he was talking about was that they had discovered something that was so terrible that about him, and what it was the so-called rape of Juanita Bynum.
Juanita.
Something.
Yeah, I can't remember
what
her name.
Me?
No, yeah, no, different Juanita.
Yeah.
You know. That the biggest open secret in the United States Senate is Lindsey Graham, right?
Yeah, I got you.
Maybe he might not be at the Republican convention either because they don't want him getting caught in the stalls in Minneapolis.
They don't want him to go to the bathroom.
No, we don't want Lindsey doing no toe tapping.
Well, I understand they have to find something new now so other people find. Oh, Lordy, I'm telling you.
It's tough, I tell you.
It just feels like, I don't know, I feel like I've been kicked and kicked and kicked, you know.
It is a lot like
it. And it is, you know, it's what's so bad is our party, Nancy Pelosi, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? When I got another story in the stack that I haven't had out for a while. There's this crazy congresswoman, and I mean crazy, Juanita. I mean crazier than a sprayed roach crazy. Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota. Yeah, this is the woman who said she was proud of the fact that there are more Minnesotans with three or four jobs than anywhere else in the country. You know, that kind of crazy.
Uh-huh.
Well, Michelle Bachmann came out, and I don't mean that way, but she came out a few days ago and decided to lambast Nancy Pelosi. And she said that
Nancy Pelosi's out there saying she's going to save the world. Well, I need to remind Nancy Pelosi that the world was already saved 2,000 years ago by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Didn't he say back then that he didn't, that was, his kingdom was not of this world?
Well, there is that now, isn't there?
There is, yeah. That's not what he was, came to save.
I know, I know.
But I'll tell you, people believe it. But I kind of got a new handle on the other day, you know, when they were talking about trying to save it. Barack was the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know they're going to try to keep that away, but they want to, the war, you know, to start, so can't have one without the other, can you? Kind of like love and marriage. You can't have Armageddon and without the Antichrist, can you?
Well, it depends on how you buy into it, but, you know, like I've been pointing out, and Peter Godbold's pointed out so many times, when you see the word Antichrist in the New Testament, it says it's in the plural, Antichrists.
Oh, there's many Antichrists, too.
And, you know, I personally think that, well, George Bush is an Antichrist, and Dick Cheney is an Antichrist, and Condoleezza Rice is an Antichrist. And I mean, the executive branch of this government, just, I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting an Antichrist in the Bush administration.
And probably some of the so-called ministers. I just don't believe that they believe
Hagee?
What they preach.
I don't know. I think they're all the worst, most cynical form. They don't believe any of the stuff that they preach. Hagee wouldn't be as big and corpulent and jowly if he believed anything that Jesus had to say.
You know, I have heard him for a long, quite a long time off and on, you know, on TV, but I found out stuff about him now. He says the Antichrist Christ is part, at least part Jewish and homosexual.
Yeah.
So where do they get that all that?
They make it up. I mean, I was reading about a fundy evangelist who had one of his big gatherings recently. I found it over on Alternet Juanita. Can't remember the guy's name offhand. But he preaches this doctrine that white people are actually the chosen people of God and that Jews snuck in Jerusalem and are pretending to be God's chosen people, but it's really white people.
Is that the white from the white man's Bible?
Yeah.
You know the guy that plays the fiddle, that he loves Hitler? Tries to walk like Hitler?
Oh, mercy, I
think he's in jail now. He was behind that guy going to California and killing, you know, the Jewish children.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the same guy. I'm looking for this. Fella now.
Well, he has his church, and he said when he was out, you know, going on shows and all before all of that, he said that his was not a Christian church, and they go by the white man's Bible. You can buy it from Amazon. It's a total different Bible.
Here it is. Here's our guy. He's in his 80s, and he's a televangelist by the name of
different one.
Arnold Murray, and he says that there's an evil race called the Kenites who killed Christ, and he says that they're the Jews.
Who said that he said that? Now, I know something about him. Who said he said that?
He says that.
Okay.
The serpent seed is a belief ripped straight from the pages of Seedline or Two-Seed Christian Identity Movement theology. It holds that Eve was impregnated by Satan and gave birth to Cain, described as the first Jew. And Jews are seen as biologically descended from Satan and are allegedly hard at work preparing the earth for his rule.
Well, why did Jesus weep over them, even though he hated what they did?
But see, these guys just make it up as they go along.
Because,
you know, Jesus was kind of Jewish.
I hadn't heard that one about that.
They call him the Sarge, and he runs something called Shepherd's Chapel.
Yeah. Yeah.
He calculates his own date for Passover. He's from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake.
He's what?
Nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake. He has, it goes on and on and on. Let's see. He preaches often about a race of evil people descended from Cain, born out of the serpent seed.
So
of called the Kenites.
Oh, okay.
And he says they slipped in among the real Jewish people in Jerusalem and claimed to be God's chosen people, when in fact they are Lucifer. And see, you know that he means the Jews by that, because he also says, this is a quote, in 1967, Jerusalem fell to the Kenites during the Six-Day War. Well, Israel won the Six-Day War and took Jerusalem over. There's real sickos. And as a matter of fact, you'll appreciate this. There's a revival going on in Huntington, West Virginia this week, Juanita. It's a revival being led by, he said, looking for his little piece of paper, being led by nationally known evangelist Perry Stone. Perry Stone. You ever heard of this guy?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Okay, he's doing
the one that I can't stand.
He's doing a special teaching seminar at Christ Temple Church in Huntington, West Virginia, all week long.
Supposed to know all about the end times.
Right. Well, he kicked it all off his first night by calling environmentalists anti-Christian tree worshipers.
Yeah.
He told the congregation that if America would invest in coal, West Virginia would be financially saved and the tithe would go up. And that West Virginia would be blessed by God.
Yeah. Gosh. Oh, my Lordy.
Yes.
You know, it makes me mad, you know, because the way I feel about God, you know, I don't like people lying about God. And
isn't there some lying about God is not mocked?
Huh?
Isn't there some line out there in the book about God is not mocked?
Yeah.
Just checking. I mean, I trust you to know this stuff better than I do.
Well, you know, and using his name in vain, a lot of people think it's just saying GD, but it's not. They're wanting to bring on Armageddon. That's none of their business to do any of those things. If God wants to do that, he can do it. He doesn't need foolish man's help.
I'm waiting for one of these rock and roll bands that follows these evangelists to do a song called "Hey Jesus, What Are You Waiting For? Get the Let Out, Mac."
Well, somebody.
Because you know, if they had their way, they'd be up there poking him with a sharp stick. Got to get a move on, Jesus, out the door.
Yeah,
go on now.
Sure, but they don't want the Antichrist if it's going to be Obama. They don't want him, because can't be Obama.
Golly,
you know,
Moses. Yeah, I do. Makes my poor little pumpkin head hurt, Juanita.
And you know, about I talked to you about the 13th chapter of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if that makes you not a Christian, that makes it the unpardonable sin, right? I would guess.
Yeah, okay.
And if you have committed the unpardonable sin and do like Jesus did and tell the religious leaders and rulers off, then, you know, he's guilty. And if they don't believe in revolting against the government, then how can our country have been founded on Christian principles? See the irony of all of that?
Oh, well, yeah, after a while, they have to start chasing their tail.
Right. Right. Which one is it? You know, I mean, but I do want to tell you one thing about, you talking about the end time thing, is I remember after 9/11, there's I think it's a local show. I think it might be all over the country, but it's a couple on there. I always I like to watch them because they had some good interviews. I certainly didn't believe some things that they believed, but he actually told that, you know, the end time books and stuff like that really people went wild over buying them during that time of 9/11.
Sure.
And he said that he actually knew some, that they just took books that were already written and just changed the dates. They'd be big sellers.
Well, you know, that's what Hal Lindsey did. You remember Hal Lindsey, don't you?
Yes.
Late Great Planet Earth, 1980s, uh-huh. Countdown to Armageddon. He just
right.
And the 1980s Countdown to Armageddon's all about how it's going to be the Soviets and the commies. And that didn't work out, so he just took it, did a global search and replaced with his word processors, changed it to radical Muslim Islamo-fascist, and boom, new book. Same prophecy, got it wrong. I got it this time. Oh, I definitely got it right this time. Yeah, I know. Juanita, I got to run along. Got some more lights blinking, but good to hear from you, dear. You take care. Bye now. Hal Lindsey. Oh, I'll have nightmares. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Vince, what's up?
Not much. Just got home from work, and I had something rather interesting happen today that I just had to share.
Oh, can't wait.
Well, it seems to be a theme with me now. I seem to be doing the crazy people report now, first with, you know, my last job, and it's starting with the new job.
Got yourself a fundie, do you?
Oh, I was sitting here on the phones to yesterday, and I do technical support for a major corporation.
Okay.
And we just have gotten out of the training phase where they're actually letting us on the phones now, and what we do right now is we're in training for half the day, and we're on the phones the other half of the day. And so, you know, the phone, you know, beeps in my ear. Hi, thank you for calling, you know, big, huge corporation. My name is Vince. How can I help you? And, well, my computer is, you know, not working. And we go through the whole process and everything. I finally get them up and running on the Internet again. And one of the things we do is we verify his ability to surf on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sites I use to verify, you know, they can surf, because it's almost impossible not to type in without screwing it up, is I'll send them to CNN.com. And so, okay, sir, now that we've verified that your computer is online and that you have the ability to surf, can you please go to your web browser and type in www.cnn.com for me?
Oh, no.
No. Sir, I am not going to that pinko commie website. Okay, sir. Unfortunately, I don't, I said this and I probably shouldn't have. Well, sir, unfortunately, I don't know the web address to Fox News. You know, so
yeah.
he went to another website, but, and then later on the day, I had this, you know, your typical soccer mom, can I have you go to CNN.com? And she wasn't so bad, but the first thing she said was, can I go to Fox News instead?
You're kidding.
I wish I was, sir.
I can tell that work's wearing off on you, because you just dropped a sir on me. Oh,
sorry.
God.
Bob, I can't escape them no matter where I go. But it's just, I don't know. It's like the idea of just going to a website is so toxic to them. Oh, my God. And the fact that I hit two of them in one day is what kind of scares me.
Well, hey, you know, just grab a little sheet of paper, Vince, and just, you know, yeah, and go tick, tick, and make your two marks, put a little, and then write very much smaller the date, and, you know, just keep track of the fundies. So you got two fundy weirdo right-wing calls out of, and pretty soon you'll start establishing a pattern. And you'll get an idea of exactly what percentage within the American population these people represent.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the most part, you know, I don't have this problem. You know, most of the time I say, can you go to CNN.com? Oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Oh, it comes up. Okay, cool. You know, fine, whatever. We move about our business.
I ain't going to that liberal media site.
That's what it was. Pinko Kami. That's what he called.
He really said, come on, Vince. Just us.
I crap you not. I crap you not. He said, and I quote, "I am not going to that pinko commie website." That's what he said. Word for word. That is a direct quote. I wish I was making this up. I wish. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, I guess sending them to headonradionetwork.com or something like that's out the window, but
we are actively discouraged from sending them to any sites that may offend their political, social, or religious sensibilities. So, yeah, I can't send them to democrats.com or something like that.
Landoverbaptist.org. How about The Onion? The Onion's always up.
The Onion might not be politically correct. I can't send them anywhere that they might get offended. Otherwise, I might get in trouble.
Vince, you poor thing. I think you should get hazard pay for today. Hey, boss man, you didn't tell me I was going to have to be dealing with ignorant right-wingers, boss.
I've been a little bit out of the loop, but somebody came up to me and said something about John Edwards having an affair.
Yeah. Stay out of the loop on that one, Vince. It's a swamp. Yeah, he did. No, he really did. He admitted it. Yeah.
Well, that's just...
So did John McCain. But then again, John McCain walked out on his crippled wife, so, you know.
I know, but the fact of the matter is that I'm waiting for, you know, the next time I go up north to Georgia, my in-laws are going to be like, because I was a big Edwards supporter.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, there's always that. I never heard that having sex had anything with one's ability to do a job.
Except that I have frequently used that as one of my biggest criticisms of John McCain, is how can somebody run from a party that claims to be on the moral right of things and yet walk out on his crippled wife, you know? And I know the next time I see him, they're going to throw that in my face.
Well, you look at him, John McCain's wife was still crippled. There were no cripples involved in John Edwards' affair. Sort it out for me, would you, dad-in-law?
No, he's just going to call me a hypocrite and walk about his business. Not that I care. And I still can't get into the chat room. Oh, jeez. I think your website hates me.
No, it really doesn't. But dadgummit.
It worked that one day.
Have you Java's updated and all of that stuff?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my entire browser just crashed. Beautiful. Ever since I got this computer, it just hasn't worked for me. I don't know why. Something just doesn't like, it just doesn't like something here.
No, that's weird. It sounds like, well, yeah, like I know. Sounds like something's conflicting with something else. Well, there, now we've nailed it down.
Hey, man, I do this for a living now, and even it bores me half the time.
Yeah, physician, heal thyself.
I'm working on it. Anyways, hi to everyone in the chat room since I can't get there, and I hope y'all are happy.
Well, if you want, do you have, you got ELO's email address? Have you guys?
I'm sure I've got it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've got it around here somewhere, but the last time we actually went through troubleshooting this thing, I don't think we really got anywhere. It just spontaneously started working for no apparent reason, and now it's broke again, so.
Maybe we need to clear out your I don't know if we can clear out your login information. I don't know if we've even got access to it. But maybe we just need to start out and start over.
I don't even think that has anything to do with it, but in any event, didn't call about the technical aspect of things. How are things in Bob Land?
Bob World's weird. I found out all my insides are in all the wrong places. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna write a parody song looking for innards in all the wrong places. but, you know, I'm getting along. We're gonna be okay. And, another right-wing killer wandering around in Arkansas, just another day behind the microphone.
Is Rush Limbaugh running around wanting to give the guy a medal yet?
No, mostly he just runs around naked inside his 24,000-square-foot mansion that he shares with a cat.
I know, but it's just...
And the cat's eyes are burning. You know, there's one of those funny little poster things, like those inspirational posters. I ran across it at knucklehead.ca. I love that site. And it's this wide-eyed face of a black cat, and it just says, what has seen has cannot be unseen.
Unseen, yes. I know exactly where that came from, as a matter of fact, but...
I was reminded because I saw it the other day, and I just thought, you know, that's Rush Limbaugh's cat.
But, I mean, seriously, none of these right-wing wackos, these nut jobs, these bottom feeders have had anything to say about this?
No, as far as I know, they haven't, because the folks that keep up with them generally do a pretty good job of it. But the shooter in Knoxville, crickets. This shooter in Arkansas, crickets. They don't dare talk about it, because they know they're responsible for it.
I know, but I mean, for crying out loud, you had that moron Reagan sitting there talking about shoving grenades up babies' bottoms. I would think that this would not be outside of his league of commenting on.
Mm.
I mean, I'm glad that he's not.
No, because that stuff's figurative, and calling for somebody to be dragged into the street and shot is so at least figurative. These people are actually, these people are acting on orders. So it's pretty dang scary.
Well, Bob, I just wanted to give you the freak update. I'm sure you've got other blinkies going there.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad to hear from you, Vince, and I hope you get back into the chat room. Email, ELO says she'll give you an email.
All right, I appreciate
Maybe
it.
Maybe you guys can work it out yet. We're looking for you in the room.
All right, I'm trying to get in now a different way, so we'll see if it behaves.
All right, hang in there. And, you know, it might be funny to send it. Get the address for Fox News and ask people to go to that and see how many, you know, that's a good fair and balanced website, and then see how many, you know, it's another tick sheet where you go tick, tick, tick. And I'm not going to that right-wing filth hole. Because, see, I have a personal suspicion that the people who can't make their computers get on the inner tubes, it's not liberals. You're in!
Yeah, I see that. Holy crap, it works.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Vince.
All right, Bob.
Later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Chat room's fun if you've never been there, and it's not difficult to get in at all. You got to try it out sometime. Head on radionetwork.com. Doggone it, we lost the last blinking light. Well, let's see. Another email to share with you. Subject line, a white boy wonderland. This comes from Reverbo, following up to his phone call. Subject line, a white boy wonderland. Utterances such as that are exactly why I just sent $25 to the Head On Radio Network. Thank you. Thank you, Reverbo. This is that and the fact that we have to do 100 times more work, 1,000 times, than the other side. He says it ain't much. Well, it's more than you know, Reverbo. Far more than you know. It ain't much, he says, but I'm what you'd call between jobs. Critic at large for the Horn doesn't pay my pickle bill yet. Yeah, they're on my doorstep over the pickle bill too, trust me. I wanted you to know, you could say that I made my support personal. And he says, P.S., just how bad is it? How close are you to folding up your tent over there? Well, frankly, you know, we'll be here until somebody comes and turns the lights out. Till they come and start pulling wires, I'm here. But every month is a struggle. When we first decided, and it was a decision on all of our parts, but I cleared it through the boss. And it was a decision we made to estimate what our monthly needs were as near as possible to an absolute minimum, taking into account things like equipment replacement, equipment repairs, things that go bad, emergencies, power bills, everything. Phones, internet, yada, yada, yada. Taking into account everything. And what we came up with was $2,000 a month. Ben Birch was kind enough in this process to say, do not count me in. So that doesn't even include what Ben pays for the server space for the stream that goes out. But $2,000 a month was what we came up with. And we haven't seen $2,000 a month all year. And going back to the very beginnings, Hardly ever. And so that means that we dip into our own limited resources to keep things going. So that's how close we are to folding up the tent. I ain't going to fold up a tent. They'll come get the tent, and they'll rip it off from on top of me, and they'll fold it up and drive away. I ain't folding no tent. But it is grim, and it's grim every month. And I know that, look, I know it's grim all over. I really, really know. So I understand. You know, I mentioned this last night, and immediately we got, I'll just use a first name. We got a very, a generous contribution from Paul. Person by the name of Paul. Purpose, horn playing. Man. This morning a subscription payment rolled in. And these are contributions that are coming from people that I know, regardless of who you are, that you're denying yourself something to keep this going. And don't think for an instant that I'm not cognizant of that, and that it doesn't stir me and humble me and frighten me. But it also inspires me. If you're willing to keep this going, we're all willing to be here. It's that simple. And maybe someday when things go up and more people get involved, people can give less because there are more giving, contributing, creating. You know, this isn't a donation process. And if it's a contribution, it is a contribution that you make to make this happen because you have made a determination, well, like what Reverbo said. What was that? We have to do 100 times more work, 1,000 times more work than the other side. And it's just so true. So, that's where we are. That's where we are. This is just where we are. If you've never been part of this process, and you'd like to, it's very easy. There's a PayPal button, headonradionetwork.com. If you prefer snail mail, head on 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Mary Bill, 318 Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. And every little bit is an investment in the next month of conversation radio, the likes of which you do not get anywhere else, and which, by virtue of the efforts of folks like Ben Birch, is expanding. Blows my mind that we're available on an iPhone now. You got an iPhone, you're in the car, you're not a captive of terrestrial radio anymore. Bang, push of a button, push the little thing into the cassette or the CD, put the adapter in, the little FM, you know, the technology's fascinating. And you're listening to the horn in the car. Wow. The future is now, and you are creating the future. Coming up next, Peter Godbold, live, really, with a fabulous guest on his way at about 9 p.m. Many thanks also to the bravest, hardest working people we know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Go there, sign the petition. It costs you nothing at coalriverwind.org, but you may be helping to begin the salvation of an entire region of your country and your countrymen. It's pretty inspiring. Thanks, Peter Godbold. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks, videographer ELO. Thanks, chat room moderators. Thanks, news ninjas. Thanks, bloggers. Thanks, everybody. And most of all, you who share your time by listening and emailing and calling. Thank you. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.